If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You don't sleep on that couch.
No, it's okay.
No, it's not. This is a huge bed. Come on, just get in and get a good night's sleep.
Don't you understand? She's a lesbian.
I'm a lesbian. I'm a lesbian. Oh, my God. It feels so good to say it out loud.
I love lesbians.
You know a lot about being a lesbo.
It's just a vagina.
These girls, man, they're getting on my neck.
Taking in these visions is no doubt a dream come true for many. But what images dance in Tyra's head while she's snuggled in bed?
I have this one dream where, like, it's okay to, like, run around naked.
With my boyfriend, Bean.
And I'm not, like, this exhibitionist or anything, but
I just love being naked with my boyfriend, Bean.
F you.
You know what you want to do when you're not modeling anymore?
Yes, I want to
hang out with my boyfriend, Bean.
And now.
Wasn't that insane? Was that not crazy?
That girl's fat.
I have one thing to say to you. Kiss my fat ass.
That girl's fat.
Our feature presentation.
That's the Long Blondes on Rodney on the Rock. Doing, and right before, anyway, I got a couple more songs to play.
What?
Rodney? And then on,
Rodney, stop, for God's sakes, you're not even making sense. Morning, everybody, it's the Kevin and Bean Show, it's 5:31, and it is Thursday the 15th of Blovember.
How did they let Psycho Mike come back once they had him at the Pentagon? I thought they were immediately going to put him on a copter and send him down to Gitmo.
That's
what's the
what
deal
I
here?
Guantanamo Bay. Mike will be there. He'll be in a cell wearing an orange shirt. He will be declared an enemy combatant.
I mean, how did they let you come back, Mike? What happened? What went tragically wrong on your trip to D.C.?
I'm sorry. I don't know the Psycho Mike you speak of. I don't respond to that.
You're no longer Psycho Mike?
Yeah.
Who are you now?
I'm Corporal Master Chief Catherwood.
Corporal Master Chief.
Yeah.
Did you that make even, that up?
Is that even a rank?
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, we're going to hear about that a little bit later today, because Psycho Mike went to the Pentagon yesterday, and it was to speak.
Yeah, see, I thought they'd send him to Gitmo to torture people by speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true. To get stuff out of people waterboarding would never achieve.
Stop, we'll tell you everything.
Exactly.
Just make him stop telling the same story.
And then there was this band in 1983 from Germany. Their name was Accept. They were a new wave of British heavy metal band.
This is heavy metal speech.
We'll tell you everything.
That might work, actually. So was it awesome, dude? At least tell us that.
Yes!
How many people were you speaking in front of?
300?
Yeah?
That's a good crowd.
Yeah, and all military men in uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Rough crowd. Like, that's a tough, that's an imposing crowd.
Sure.
You know?
When you but you were so aroused, though.
Yeah, I mean, who's more excited?
300 guys in uniform. Come on, Mike.
Yeah,
it's your dream.
Like, if there's any sailors in the audience, stand up. But, you know, you start loosening up after you're out there a little bit.
After your first drink?
After a while, it was everything went really well. And I'm telling you, it is such an intense environment, the Pentagon. It's so it's so different from anybody else's everyday life.
That's it's
way
sure.
different from here, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Couldn't be more different.
Sorry to interrupt, Bean, but I mean, I had a three-hour meeting just on what language is acceptable.
Really?
To me, you know, that's so insane.
Wow.
Just the words you can't say or the topics you can't talk about?
Right, and they just say, understand you are one of the highest, areas of establishment for the United States military. Obviously, you know, a potty mouth is not something that we want to have.
Well, they haven't seen any videos of any of their own soldiers then out in the field. That's
right.
For sure.
And they say, you know, everybody's free to speak how they want to out there, out in the regular world. But inside the Pentagon, there's a certain level of decorum we expect.
Did you feel like there was a sniper with a rifle and a scope trained on you at all times? In case you said the wrong thing?
I had my own soldier as security at all times. I had one escort and one security soldier at all times.
Wow.
Just for me.
To keep an eye on you to make sure you didn't steal staplers and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, why would they need to send a security in the Pentagon with you?
It's security for the building to make sure Mike doesn't go places he's not supposed to go. That's what it is.
Well, a combo of the two. One, the escort is to get you around because it's literally
of course.
A labyrinth.
Amazing.
There's no way you can find
it. It's the largest office building in the world, I think, or at least it was at one time.
It is insane how confusing the place is. And
then it is.
On top of it, They give you a guy who doesn't really talk much. He just stands back there and makes...
That's the guy who... they knew that when Mike tells the story, he makes enemies quickly. So he was just going to protect Mike from getting beaten up in the Pentagon, because that's bad press right there.
That you're not too far off. They told you there's certain language that if you go, you delve into that type of topic nature, they will remove you from speaking, if, even if they have to do it physically.
Like what kind of topics?
By the way, remove you from speaking is their code.
Yeah.
For take just, care of it.
Remove you from anything.
You're disappeared.
Yeah.
Well, they let you know that they understand that you're in a government building of military rank. So yeah. Anything that could be possibly construed as a threat towards the United States military or the President of the United States, it's considered a threat.
Oh.
You know, no even like vague references to explosives, bombs.
They don't want you to be political in any way.
And we understand you have your right to feel about the United States government or the United States military however you want. But this is not the place to give out any rhetoric that might be considered a threat, you know? And so we had a long meeting about
what's going to the what's going to the Pentagon without a good bomb joke? I mean, come on.
Well,
why even go?
Well, we're going to hear more about the talk and the men you met and probably spent the evening with later. But I just want to know if Gene Simmons was in fact from Kiss on the bill with you, and did you get a chance to meet him?
I don't believe so, and I wouldn't have got a chance to meet him anyway because, as we'll discuss later, as soon as I got done speaking, I went backstage with my escort and I said, "Hey, let's go look around." He's like, "Yeah, yeah, no problem." And we went, and he showed me all the like
really
cool stuff.
Yeah, so I didn't even hang out to hear other people speak.
Really.
But
that's surprising.
Yeah, I did not.
Mike's not interested in anybody who's speaking who's not him anyway, now that
that's
I think about
true,
it.
That's true, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He knows it all.
No, but I said, when am I really going to get a behind-the-scenes tour of the Pentagon?
No, you did the right thing.
And the guy's
that's
like,
cool.
Yeah, no, I'll go show you some cool stuff.
So I took a tourist thing of the Pentagon where mm-hmm. I went into the Pentagon, and they show you, like, one hallway with pictures on it, you know, big, giant framed pictures. And then they usher you out, and you go, that's the Pentagon? That's not much. Where's all the important stuff? You don't get to see anything.
That's where Mike
Usher was there when you were there?
No.
The thing about the Pentagon that most people have seen the building. They know what we're talking about, that five-sided building. And, the one that the plane ran into on 9/11. That is, it's underground. It has five more levels just like that underground. And you got to be heavy duty to get down to the lower levels. I mean, you know, there's an office level that you see, and then there's the stuff that no one sees unless they're cleared.
Wow.
And the bottom level, the fifth level down, is where they have aliens, and they're doing...
Right, that's where they keep the aliens and the
doctors and research
and
research
on
them.
Stuff like that. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Well, I can't wait to hear more about that. That's exciting. It was almost worth being a drug addict for all those years to clean up and then get the opportunity to go speak at the Pentagon in 2007.
100%. It was one of the most amazing and enriching experiences I've ever had in my life.
Hmm.
Well, you know, Dave was tapping your wife while you were gone, right?
He can have that whore after me. now that I'm Chief Master Corporal Catherwood.
You're not that at all.
I'm going to get so much trim. Ladies love a man in uniform.
You don't have a uniform.
I do, dude. It's being pressed.
Dave was counting the hours till you got on that plane. He's like, "Oh, yeah. I can't wait till Mike's gone. I'm so going driving right over to Jenny's house as soon as his plane takes off."
Yeah,
dude,
she was calling all of us, begging for us to come over and stop him.
Whatever. When he's pushing around his Nissan Sentra around town, no one's going to care when I'm on an aircraft carrier. Yeah,
you're not
Woo!
In the Navy, dude.
Look at me, man in the gun.
You spoke. You're not in the Navy.
Yeah, killing Charlie.
I don't think we're fighting
no
Charlie anymore. Pretty sure about that.
Well, good times right there.
Yeah,
Mike wins, by the way. Rarely does Mike win when you say, "Hey, what'd you do yesterday?"
Yeah.
Mike usually is not the guy who comes out on top, but I think this time we can't touch that.
Nope, you're absolutely right.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
We'll find out some more details about Psycho Mike and going to the Pentagon and how that could have possibly happened. Under what circumstances does anyone hook up with anyone who tells them that they know about a guy who that's broken? That whole thing
is
broken.
You know they're regretting it today.
Yeah,
and
that's
I think
true.
That,
yeah. Somebody's getting fired.
Somebody's getting fired because of this choice.
Certainly should be. And we'll also have to add to that conversation, is America going in the wrong direction? I think that's kind of a natural offshoot of that topic.
Does this show you what you need to know about the Pentagon and our government?
I mean, at this point, the only question you should be asking yourself is Canada or Mexico? I mean, that's about it.
Also on today's show, Blinded by Love.
Oh, this is a good one.
In a relationship, and there was sign after sign after sign, and you just somehow ignored every single one. I heard a call on Loveline the other night. We're going to have audio from it, but Dr. Drew was yelling at this girl. Yelling. He was yelling at her, "What are you doing?" Because she was dating a guy that was way older than her, and he had a car seat, and he told her it was for his nephew, and he was living with the girl, but he wasn't with her. And it was clearly just stupid on her part.
And she was having an affair and couldn't face it and basically told herself she wasn't, right? Is that what happened?
Yeah. I mean, and there were all these signs of this guy living with the girl. He had car seats. He said it was for his nephew. They weren't his kids. And she believed everything along the way. And Dr. Drew was just out of his mind. Are you stupid or can you just not see? Or
I think it's hard sometimes to believe that someone would just bold-faced lie to you like that. And when you quiz them and you keep questioning them and they do not veer from their story, eventually you're like, okay.
right, but
I mean, I know it's ridiculous from the outside. If you're not in that, those two people, it looks you that person looks so stupid when you're on the inside.
Because at the end of the call, the girl said,
"Just love him."
So what should I do? I thought Drew was going to explode.
What about, I'm sure we'll mention this, but what about that that very respected news journalist a few years ago who, after he died, his wife found out that he'd had another family in Montana for 27 years. And looking back, she thought,
"That's right.
You know, he was gone a lot."
He did take a lot of trips.
I guess I should have seen the writing on the wall. It's the same kind of thing. After the fact, she could go, "Well, how could I not have realized that he had another family?"
Yeah.
But at the time, she didn't want to believe it or wasn't open to the possibility that it was true.
It's so shocking.
Yeah. I mean, it's not possible. You would think it's not possible, right? But maybe she just wasn't paying attention. Maybe he'd say, "Hey, honey, I'm going to go see my other family." Okay, whatever. Tired of hearing from you. Reading. Also on today's show, we have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Always fun.
Talking about the doctor that Kanye West's mom saw. And
plastic surgery, yeah.
The last to see.
Yeah.
Harvey has been, I mean, he's 60 Minutes on this story. It's unbelievable. And he points out in his site today, and we'll talk to him about this, that this guy has been on all the time. He's been on the Oprah and all the talk shows who apparently do no kinds of background check. Harvey, in 2 hours, comes up with so much dirt on this guy, you can't believe anyone would ever book him. Wow. You know? That's why he's the man.
And here's something that I'm really excited about today. I find this hard to believe, but we were talking about Jehovah's Witnesses the other day and how they go door to door. And we were talking about how Michael Jackson used to be a Jehovah's Witness. So that would mean if he was a Jehovah's Witness, he would have to go door to door. And he's been famous since he was 5. I mean, it's not like there was any point in his life where people didn't know who he was. And we got contacted by a K-Rock listener who claims that he was also Jehovah's Witness and accompanied Michael Jackson going door to door.
Cool.
This guy says he was with Michael. They were the team, the two, going door to door.
Oh, I hope it's true.
Isn't that insane?
I hope it's true.
Oh, my God, that's awesome. And also, we have tickets for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007, night number 2. We've got a new game for you to play. Those always go swimmingly well. So we're very excited about that.
And for Psycho Mike and others who may have been out of town and not listening to the radio yesterday, we announced the lineup yesterday morning. It's Muse, Feist, Jimmy Eat World, Modest Mouse, The Shins, Silver Sun Pickups, and Spoon. That's going to be the lineup you can win tickets for later on today.
Yeah, so we'll take a quick break and we'll come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat for Thursday morning. Ralph, how you living?
Large and in charge.
Good.
There's a strike on in case anybody's not paying attention.
What?
Who's on strike?
Writers.
Oh, no kidding.
Bicycle riders?
Writers.
Is this going to affect us?
No. Not at all. You know, I've been keeping a close watch on the Striker Chant 2007 update. And this came from Jessica. I live right next door to Disney Studios in Burbank. Yesterday, I heard the chant outside. Keep in mind now that Disney, one a division of Disney, is called Buena Vista Entertainment. They do a lot of the television for Disney.
Right.
They produce some of your favorite TV shows. Chanters outside were saying, "Hasta la vista, baby."
See?
See what they've done there?
No.
It continues to be spectacular.
Wow.
The work that the chanters are putting in. So thank you so much for that, Jessica. Hasta la vista, baby.
They really have given up writing. They're not just kidding.
Yeah, no kidding. I was just encouraged that they spent several hours really just working hard on getting to a solution last night with both sides opposite a table with one another. That's what impressed me, because this thing is almost over.
Not talking at all.
Not even a little bit.
No,
not even on the phone.
No.
Nope.
And they're both like children. They're both like spurned lovers where I'm not going to call him. Well, I'm not going to call her. Well, she said she doesn't. She wants to talk to you. Well, then she can call me and tell me she wants to talk to me.
Right.
Forget about it.
Are they passing notes in homeroom yet?
That's insane.
We wish.
Let's take a look at some of the top 10 TV shows according to Nielsen's ratings. Just came out for last week.
Dancing with the Stars.
These are the shows that you won't be seeing in a couple months when they run out of scripts. Actually, Dancing with the Stars, for the first time in a long time, not number one.
Finally.
Wow. How about that? Let's take a look. Number 10, the CMA Awards. I have no idea what that is, but apparently it's very popular.
Is that country being
there?
Yes, yes,
that's
country music
country
awards.
Awards. Which you love, Ralph.
Yeah.
Love.
It was a good show. A lot of star power on that one. Eagles made their first ever award show appearance on that program.
McNabb
that
was there?
That all the years, they had never been there before.
Was it McNabb and Westbrook
band,
and
band,
Runyon?
The group, the Eagles, were on the show. Eagles.
That's what I'm talking about.
The band.
The real Eagles.
The band.
How dare you, sir?
The professional ones.
We're going for two wins in a row this weekend.
The ones that are going to the Super Bowl.
How
those Eagles
dare
play
you,
at the halftime.
Sir.
That's true. They are playing.
Taking on the hapless Dolphins this weekend.
God, oh, well, at least you got that one in the bag.
It's the battle of the sucking.
Hey, how long has it been? It hasn't been that long since somebody's gone the whole season without winning a game. Wasn't it Tennessee or something?
Tampa Bay, I think, was the last team to go winless.
Oh, you're right. No, because I was thinking of Detroit 2001, but they won the last game of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
Tampa Bay.
I think Tampa Bay was last.
See, I think Miami's got what it takes. I really do.
That was like in the 70s, though, wasn't it?
It was a while ago. I don't recall a guy.
Some expansion team did it like in the 90s or something. They lost them all.
The Texans?
And I think it was Tampa Bay. I think you're right about that. Huh. We'll have to look it up.
We'll
ask our sports guy.
Yeah. Dancing with the Stars was number 9. That was the results show.
Sure.
NBC Sunday Night Football was number 8. That was
good.
That's good. 7, House.
Sure.
See House this week?
Nope.
Oh, man.
Taped it. Got plenty of time to watch it.
I don't know how they do it. Every week they keep doing it. They had like an elephant boy this time.
Ooh.
The big face. I'm not an animal. One of those guys. Pretty cool.
I'm not positive about this, but they were saying how many shows all of these series have in the can so that they can keep showing new ones. And I think House was one that had like 5 or 6 more. Most of them were 1 or 2.
I'm stockpiling now.
I think House actually has 4, 5, 6 to play yet.
That's good news.
Yeah.
NCIS.
We're going to have to stop watching that.
Only Bean's dad watches is number 6. Desperate Housewives was 5. Grey's Anatomy was number 4. Dancing with the Stars, the Dancing Edition, was number 3. Without a Trace was number 2 last week. And number 1, CSI. How about that?
Really?
Back at number 1.
Drama back on the board. So congratulations to CSI. Speaking of House, this breaks my heart. Hugh Laurie recently took a leave of absence from the show and went back to England.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he was spending time with his family and also getting treated for some minor depression.
Oh, no kidding.
Well, he's a doctor. Can he physician heal thyself?
But his leg hurts all the time. That's got to be a drag.
That's an old storyline, Ralph.
He's going to feel bad, you know, when you wake up every day.
He gets stuck on Vicodin.
Exactly. He's on those pain meds.
Yeah. Last season.
Cuddy won't
he's good now.
Bang him.
That's happening.
That's still true.
Apparently he is... having a hard time with the fact that he's an absentee father. His family lives in England, and he's over here working 16 hours a day on the House show.
Well, of course that's depressing.
And by all accounts, he's having a really hard time dealing with it. So he finally had a bit of a moment where he said, look, I got to take a break. I got to go see my family, and I got to get this under control. So that breaks my heart. A guy who's that good, and see, by all accounts, just a swell dude.
Yeah.
He's going
yeah.
through such a hard time being a success for doing what he loves, you know?
But
well, he
the good news
great
is,
time to go.
Yeah, he'll be home for he'll a really
plenty
long
of time,
time
now.
That's true. We'll give him some time off. He'll head back there. Paul McCartney's got another truck. Not yes. Paul McCartney's got another problem on his hands. Guess who has announced that she's got her eye on him and wants to pursue him in a relationship.
Britney Spears?
No, that's not, it's not that bad.
Always a good
it's
guess,
close.
Though.
Think Britney Spears in about 30 years.
Jeez.
You know supermodel Janice Dickinson?
Oh, yeah.
Dear God.
She announced to the London Sun newspaper that she's got her eye on Paul. And in the wake of his divorce, she's been trying to contact him because she would love to be in a relationship with him. Because
he thinks his ex is not nutty enough.
That's a crazier girl.
Yeah.
She calls Heather Mills a fool for letting him go. And she would love to be with Paul.
For at least a year.
Yeah.
Just think how much money she could get.
That's right.
She also... But if I remember, Ralph, from when we had her on the show, she loves to bang the stars. I mean, hasn't she had, like, already had Mick Jagger, for instance?
She It's funny because in this article they list her conquest, at least she claims.
Oh, really?
She says in her heyday she slept with Mick Jagger, Sylvester Stallone, Jack Nicholson, Bruce Willis, Frank Zappa, Kelly LeBrock, and Grace Jones.
Wow.
Grace Jones.
Oh, Grace Jones,
who's a dude,
that,
by the way?
The
giant Amazonian black dance music chick, right?
Yeah. She was a Bond villain. I mean, she was a badass.
Yeah, she was in A View to a Kill.
Badass.
But now she wants to settle down. She thinks Paul's the one for her.
She wants to settle down.
Excellent.
Oh, that's funny.
She's crazy. We had her in here, remember?
Mm-hmm.
She was charming as hell.
Very charming.
Yes.
But you could see where she would just wear you down. She would just grind your bones into flour. If you had to spend some time with her.
Yes, she would.
She is exhausting. My wife watches her. She has a reality show. You know, she has a modeling agency that's right down there at Hollywood and Highland. And they do this reality show. And she is just exhausting. It just wears you out to spend 5 minutes with her on her TV show. In person, you would take your life.
Yeah. Congratulations to Ellen Pompeo. She, of course, is the star of Grey's Anatomy. She took advantage of her time off the set during the writer's strike to run to New York for a quick wedding.
Huh.
Got married to her fiancé, Chris Ivory. Why is he a poor guy?
Have you seen her? Come on. She's just...
She could put on a few pounds.
She looks like a dish rag. She really does.
Which one is she? I don't know who...
She's Grey of Grey's Anatomy.
She's
the brunette, the very, very, very skinny one.
The very thin one with the oily, greasy hair and the pasty complexion and the dour expression.
That's wow. So you're attracted to her is what you're saying?
She's not the most attractive of the crew.
No, she's not at all.
She's McBoney, we call her on the show.
Yes.
I always thought she was attractive, but then I've only seen her stand next to Sandra Oh.
So yeah.
That's not exactly the best way to judge. Apparently, New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg served as their witness.
Oh.
Yeah. And apparently the two were over the moon, and they're very happy they got to do it under the radar without the attention of the paparazzi at all.
Good for them.
And they've got plenty of time for a honeymoon.
And I hate to break the news to you fellas, but once again, People Magazine has passed over the both of you as sexiest man alive.
Well, we were so close last year. I thought this was going to be the year.
I really thought this was going to be the tipping point for you guys.
This is just turning into active snubbing. That's what this is.
I really thought your K-Day t-shirt bean was really going to put you over the top once they caught you in that. That was going to be the one.
Because at this point, it's not even credible anymore if they continue to deny us.
Right.
It's obvious that they're not playing on a level playing field.
You're like Susan Lucci at the Daytime Emmys.
Exactly. It's just absurd now. Who got it this year as the backup plan to Kevin Abid?
Matt Damon.
Yeah, what
up?
Yeah.
Hasn't that been the running joke with him and his crew that he hasn't gotten it and Brad and George have always gotten it?
Brad's got it like twice. George has it twice, I think. But apparently he said when contacted by the magazine that he was completely embarrassed by the title.
Excellent.
Said he wasn't worthy in any way and sees himself as an aging suburban dad. The magazine calls him the most reluctant, sexiest man they've ever had. They went kicking and screaming under the cover of that magazine. So.
Well, he doesn't remember a lot of his past, and that's why he's scared
of
something like this. Something else could come up.
Like someone could see him.
Oh, my God.
I wish I had that problem. I wish I couldn't remember a lot of my past in the past 10 years or so. It'd be nice if I could just wipe those clean.
Ralph's going to kill you with a book.
He'd like to wake up in the ocean tomorrow. It'd be such an improvement over today.
Then I could hunt you guys down with a scope and a rifle.
I'm in the studio next to you. Look over.
Hey, Ralph, quick update. You're dead on about the 1976 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 0-14. They were, in fact, winless that year. And so far, my research, that's the last winless team that's come up. So it looks like you're spot on.
I thought that was them. Yeah.
Come on, Miami.
But come on, Miami. Yeah, let's do it.
Isn't it funny? Miami's the only unbeaten team in history.
Yeah.
And they could go and be the latest unwinning team in
and
history.
And they should.
The both ends of the spectrum, they could own that.
Commitment to excellence.
You know, Shule is calling them.
Either way.
Lose everything. Let's get both titles. Today's celebrity birthdays, Judge Joseph Wapner.
Dun.
Judge from the People's Court is 88 years old today. I miss old Wappy.
Is that what you called him?
Yeah, old Wappy. He was the best. Ed Asner, legendary character actor, 78 years old today.
Back here.
He's a big, hairy dude.
Back here.
He was so good on that Studio 60.
He
playing
was.
The head of the network.
He was
really,
great.
Really good at that.
And wasn't he also Santa Claus in the movie Elf?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Because I love that movie, and I think he was. He's a great actor.
Speaking of great actors, Sam Waterston. You watch that Law & Order?
No.
Talk about a guy who has just kept up a tremendous series of performances over a long, long time. He's been the DA over there in Law & Order for a long time. It's just terrific. He's 67 today. Kevin Eubanks, leader of the Tonight Show band with Jay Leno. He's 50. He's got some free time in his hands,
yes,
too.
Yes, he does.
Jesse Sandoval of the Shins. He's the drummer. He's 33 years old today. And Anna Frind Lyngstad.
Ooh.
Yes, Annefrid Lyngstad celebrates her birthday today.
Who's that?
Kevin, of course, knows her as the one of the lead singers of ABBA.
Oh, sure.
She was, yeah, she was ABBA. She was the, one of the A's in A-B-B-A.
She was ABBA. A. Okay.
Because that was the first letter of all their first names. That's why they came up with the ABBA.
You want to see some shockingly bad, horrible, horrible, horrible bad videos.
How dare you?
Search for ABBA videos online.
I've got the DVD.
ABBA.
I've got the complete video collection.
Come as a joke.
I don't have it.
As a joke.
I don't have it.
As a joke.
I have it.
As a joke.
And I love it. And I watch it.
You don't watch it.
Oh,
love
I love
it.
Fernando when they're all sitting around the fire playing guitars inside in a soundstage. And they've got like a piece of black velvet behind them with little Christmas lights in it to make it look like stars.
There's no worse videos on the planet than theirs.
Best. Almost every one of their videos seems to be shot in a racquetball court.
Yep.
It's just like a room with four white walls, and they just look at each other.
Stare up at the sky endlessly. Horrible.
The best. By horrible, he means the best. Go buy it now. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
No love for the Toadies on that bill, by the way? Got room for Muse and Feist and Jimmy Eat World, Modest Mouse, Shin, Silver Sun, Pickup Spoon. No love for the Toadies?
Just bands that are alive.
Well, I'm writing a strongly worded letter. Hey, we had them 1 year at Christmas. Remember? They were great.
Oh, no.
Toadies?
No,
you didn't.
Toadies,
yeah,
we did. Yes, really? They were on the bill.
You'd be surprised the acts that we've had on through the years.
Ain't that the truth?
It's 6:13 on the Kevin DeBean Show. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up next. Ralph found a great video on the internet that I have not seen on the television, and this should be broadcast. Don't you think, Ralph?
It really should, because at the crux of this whole insane strike that's going on with the Writers Guild of America right now is the fact that they have gone to the producers, now that their deal is up, and said, look, we want a percentage of the money that you make off of digital medias, off of the internet downloads, off of episodes that you run on your websites, off of you know, the iTunes episodes. We want a residual for those airings the way we get residuals for our TV shows when they're rerun on network television, when they're sold to pay-per-view cable, when they're rerun on basic cable, when they have overseas foreign distribution. We want a residual, which is a small percentage of the original fee that they got for writing those episodes. They get that every time it's rerun.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really at the core of what they're talking about. And they've gone to the producers with this, and the producers have said, look, we don't know how much money is in this digital media. It may be some, it may be nothing, but we can't promise you money on it because we may not make money on it. We may take it in the shorts when it comes to this digital media stuff.
Everything's just too unclear.
We need like a 3-year study. Give us a chance to study it and see what the revenue stream will be. And then if it is, in fact, a money-making proposition, we'll come back and revisit this argument with you. Which is the same thing they did to them when home video was big. When they first made their deal, home video, at the time videotapes, was a burgeoning industry. And they said, we want some money, you know, we want 8 cents for every video that you sell. And they said, we don't know how this thing's going to take off. It may be a moneymaker. It may not be a moneymaker. Home video is a real crapshoot. So just take half of that. Take 4 cents now. And if it is a big deal, if it's a big moneymaker, then we'll reinstate you and give you the full 8 cents. Well, as you know, home
video.
When
did they do that?
Like 20 years ago.
Right. And they also said that videotapes are expensive to produce. So that's
part
of why we can't give you
8 cents. Because there's very little profit out of the end of the sale because so much has gone into making
it. Right. Yeah, DVDs, not so expensive to produce.
Right. And digital downloads,
wouldn't review it.
Nothing to produce.
Yeah. Right.
True. There's no overhead there.
And all that's exploded.
So the reason that the writers are a little reticent to take these guys at their word is because they already screwed them when it came to the home video revolution. And as you know, most films make more money now in DVD release than they actually do in theaters.
Yep.
I mean, it's an enormous...
The theater run is really just an advertisement to buy the DVD when it comes out.
Right.
That's it.
It's an enormous source of revenue for the studios, and they're still getting the same 4 cents that they negotiated some 20 years ago. So here's the thing. That being said, and that being the center argument of the strike, there is a great video up on YouTube called Voices of Uncertainty. If you get a chance, go take a look. And it talks about the fact that when they speak to the writers, they're very uncertain about what the future holds for digital media. However, every time they're on one of these talk shows, whether it's a CSNBC money interview show or the Charlie Rose show, or anytime they're talking about the industry and they're trying to pump up their stockholders, it's a very different story when it comes to digital media. So you should hear some of these. These are the guys who are really at the top of the food chain when it comes to the entertainment industry. For instance, here's a clip from Bob Iger, who is the president and CEO of Walt Disney,
okay?
Major studio, talking about what he expects in terms of income from the digital media.
Right now, Disney has $35 billion in annual revenue. How much is coming in from digital?
It's about $1.5 billion in digital.
$1.5 billion in digital.
My God.
But they're not sure whether this is going to be a profit-making situation for them or not for the writers.
There's nothing in that for the – you can't skim that for the writers.
$1.5 billion.
Yeah, $1.5 billion. But he sounded a little unsure about it, did he not?
Yeah, he really was uncertain.
Oh, wait, no.
Here's Sumner Redstone, who is, of course, the president of Viacom, talking about digital.
Viacom will double its revenues this year from digital.
Double.
Mm. And by the way, Viacom, the company,
billions of dollars every year. They're going to double that thanks to the digital downloads.
Okay.
Do you think the writers still have a bitch, a legitimate bitch?
No, it sounds to me like they're very unsure about the
digital. How about Rupert Murdoch, head of Fox?
All right.
Tell me how you see all of this, the digital revolution reshaping media, because you called it a new golden era.
Well, I hope it's a golden era. it is certainly one with golden opportunities.
Okay. But we need 3 years to make sure.
Yes.
That's what he's saying, basically. Ben Silverman, who is the brand new chairman, head of NBC Entertainment, talks about how his company will satisfy the demand for digital media.
Content is going to be more and more and more important. We all have PDAs. We all have cell phones with screens. We all have experienced the screen in the back of the taxi cab, the screen inside the elevator. And we are one of the best companies in the world at feeding those screens.
Okay. Yeah. They'll feed the screens with the writer's material, but they won't feed the writers. That's
right.
Basically
well,
what
it's
he's
promotional,
saying.
Ralph.
Oh, I forget. It's all promos.
These guys are so standing there with their pants down.
They really are.
They are. I haven't seen it.
That's on YouTube, too.
Wow. Cool.
I mean, their arrogance and their certainty in public really is belying what they're saying to these writers. It's kind of hard to fight the fight on two fronts, really, if this is the way they're talking publicly. Yeah. And this is my favorite. This is Les Moonves, who is the CEO of a corporation called CBS. I'm not sure if you're familiar with
them. Not familiar with them.
But this is spectacular.
Perhaps. CSI will be on the network, and it also will be on broadband. And at some point, instead of 27 million people watching it, 20 million will watch it, and 5 million will watch it on the Internet. But we will get paid for it regardless. We, as the network, as the studio, as the producers, as the production company, we're going to get paid no matter where you get it from.
We will get paid.
The producers.
But the writers
company.
Will not get paid, is what he's saying, basically. We will make lots of money, but we will not give any to the writers.
Why does it seem like no one is out there trying to represent their side in any kind of positive light?
Because
it's
impossible. They are just being greedy. There's no other defense for it. There's no other explanation for why they are dragging their feet when it comes to this
issue.
They are
lying liars who lie.
Because every time something like this comes up, you hear one side, you're convinced that side's right. Then you hear the other side, you go, well, maybe they're not. You hear both sides almost always.
Yeah.
Not this time. Mm-mm.
Well, that's the other side right there. Wow. Now you've heard it.
Good times. So we're just about to settle the strike, would you
I
say?
I think we are. I'm going to pick it up a sign today.
And we welcome back to the show Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Good morning, Harvey.
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May.
Hello, Harvey.
So good to talk to you, Harvey. And bad, bad, bad news about Kanye West's mom, who at only 58 years old turned up dead, I guess, on an operating room table last week, right?
Well, no, it wasn't an operating table. It was the day after the operation she died at home, and there is such a story behind this.
Yeah, tell us, because I was not aware of this. I didn't know how old she was. I didn't know if she was sick, and then it came out that it was just plastic surgery.
Well, let's put it this way. There's a story behind it, and sadly, Oprah Winfrey wasn't aware of it, NBC wasn't aware of it, Discovery Health wasn't aware of it, and I'll explain that in 1 second.
Okay.
What happened is you have a doctor. His name is Jen Adams, and he has been on all those shows touted as this, you know, razzle-dazzle plastic surgeon, and he operated on this woman after another doctor had said, look, you're not really a candidate because you have some medical condition that could cause you to die in an operating table. And the doctor who was going to do it said, look, you know, we'll book, if you can get a letter from an internist saying that it's okay, we'll book you at a recovery center afterwards because it's a complicated operation. But ultimately, she didn't get the letter, so they canceled the surgery. This guy did the surgery, never sent her to a recovery center. The operation took 8 hours. It should have taken 4. Didn't send her to a recovery center, which any plastic surgeon would have done. Sends her home, and she dies within 24 hours.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
Harvey, we heard various reports of what surgery she was in for. Can you confirm what it was?
Yeah, it was a tummy tuck and breast reduction. And
this is what we've been saying on our show for years, is you should never get a breast reduction under any circumstances. Oh, it will kill you.
That's a different story, I think.
It's a different story you're talking about. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Last Monday, we started looking and just digging. In 3 hours, we found multiple malpractice lawsuits against this guy. And I am not talking minor malpractice. I'm talking women who say they were butchered by this guy. I mean, I saw a woman yesterday. We're putting her on the show tomorrow. You wouldn't believe what happened to her. You would not believe it. And she didn't go to, not only did she not go to a recovery center, she had four things done to her, and then he finished at 11:30 at night and had her mother drive her 4.5 hours back to San Luis Obispo.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
But you should see. So, listen, so that's just the beginning. So then we find all these medical malpractice cases. We find a few judgments against him. We find out that his license is on the chopping block at the medical board because he's gotten three DUIs, and the medical board is either trying to suspend or revoke his license. Then we find, I mean, you're not going to believe this one. Then we find another case where a patient says he operated on her. She's real pretty. She was a model actress. Operates on her, then decides to make a post-op home visit to her, tells her she should probably get out. She might feel better. Tells her to get dressed. She's heavily medicated. Takes her out to dinner. Gets her drunk on wine. Takes her back to his place, has sexual intercourse with her, gets her pregnant,
what?
And then ultimately refers her to a guy who will do an abortion.
What?
This is unbelievable. And here's why we wanted to have Harvey on, is because as nearly as I can tell, and Harvey, you know I pay pretty close attention to news, you're leading the charge on every single one of these women in this doctor's past that have come up. You're the one who's uncovered all of them, and they're all on the record and legit, and it's all verified.
Yeah, and here's the problem. We are... Where was Oprah? Where was NBC? Where was Discovery Health? What did they do? It took us 3 hours to find all of this.
It's not. Is it hard to find this kind of information?
Guys, we found it in 3 hours.
Yeah.
He's not a board-certified plastic surgeon. And that's huge. And the idea that Oprah and all of these shows, I mean, we're really going to town today, because I'm telling you on the show, because it's not just about Dr. Adams. It's, you know, when you're on Oprah Winfrey, it's like a commercial in the Super Bowl.
Of course.
Oh, you absolutely have a confidence that these people have been checked out and they're great.
And they weren't. I mean, believe me, I'm hoping they weren't, because if they knew, that would be even worse. But we've called all the shows, radio silence, nothing from Oprah, nothing from NBC, nothing from Discovery Health. Tonight, we're doing something on other people who may not be what they seem. And you know, and just P.S., we also found yesterday that he was, you know who Ted Field is?
No.
I know the name. Who is he?
Mogul movie producer.
Okay.
He owned Marshall Field. I think his father owned Marshall Field, but he's a huge guy. He was married to this woman named Susie Field. They divorced. Last year, this Dr. Adams married her.
Right.
On Thanksgiving Day of last year, he allegedly started arguing with her, took her upstairs, started beating her up, threatened to kill her, tell her she deserved a beating. Another time, choked her to the point almost of unconsciousness. She got a restraining order against the guy and then filed for a divorce 2 days later.
Wow.
I want OJ out and this guy in jail. That's what I want. That's how much I now hate this guy as a result of talking to Harvey. And wasn't there another case where he left a sponge inside somebody too, Harvey?
We talked to this woman. It's unbelievable. I mean, she was feeling these sharp, sharp pains for 2 years. And then finally they operated on her and realized that somebody else operated and realized that he had left a sponge in. And he got that woman got a judgment in that case. And I talked to the lawyer, and he hasn't paid a penny. And what he does is he just changes offices and changes corporations and plays kind of this financial shell game. So she hasn't gotten any money out of that.
Let me ask you to take off your investigative hat for 1 second and put your legal hat on. What ramifications does he face now that all this has been revealed, not just from Kanye West, but from the other people involved in these cases?
Well,
I mean, can he be sued? Can he go to jail?
He has been sued. He has been sued, and there are judgments against him, and he's not paying them.
How does his license not get revoked?
Well, it's a really good question, Lisa May. And I mean, when I was an investigative reporter at Channel 2, I did a big thing on outpatient surgery and the medical board and showed how some doctors were killing people and the medical board wasn't doing anything. And I think they've gotten somewhat better, but this has been going on for a long time. And they finally filed papers against him in April. It feels a little belated.
Wow.
Yeah,
and by the way, they filed papers against him in April. How can none of these shows know anything about this? So it's like, so the way that you get booked, I guess, is if you're good-looking and if you have a nice smile and if you can talk a good game.
Yeah.
But what about the responsibility television shows have to people who are watching thinking, oh, my, I mean, the woman we interviewed last night who's going to be on tomorrow, who was completely butchered, she saw this guy on Discovery, and she said, he must rock.
Wow.
Sure.
Wow.
Absolutely.
And by the way, what he ended up doing, he said, look, I'll do 4 procedures on you for free. And he takes her to this crappy little office and does these 4 procedures on her, which probably should not have been done, 4 of them. And then, again, no recovery center, just sends her home. And he does it for free, so he videotapes it so it can go on the show.
That's unbelievable.
Wow.
I mean, and if Oprah is going to spend an hour on that author who faked part of his book, she certainly has a responsibility to come on her show and say, I misled you by having this guy on. I should have done the research. Harvey is the king. Don't you think?
Yes.
I mean, we called Oprah show, nothing. We called Discovery, yeah. Nothing. NBC, nothing.
Well, I just like to say that's what you people get for watching Oprah. All right.
All right. Keep up with the story of Dr. Jan Adams and Kanye West's mom at TMZ.com. And it sounds like you've got some riveting video on the TV show, which, of course, airs at 6:30 every night on Channel 9.
Can I just tell you one other thing?
Sure. Certainly. Yes.
James Caan's son. In fact, hey, hold on. Hey, Evan, it's Scott. Scott Caan.
Okay.
Tweeter from Varsity Blues. You know
okay.
who that is?
Yes.
You know who that is?
Sure. Yeah, and he's also in the Ocean's 13 movie.
He's in Ocean's 13.
Right.
You will not believe what happened yesterday on the street with this guy at the Newsroom Cafe.
And you're not going to leave it at that. You're going to tell us.
I'll tell you a little.
All right.
Okay.
I mean, there was a photographer there. He challenges him to a fight.
Good.
Uses a awful epithet. And it's just out of control.
Fantastic.
I mean, wait till you see this on the show.
Well, I hope Dr. Adams operates on him then. That's the way to live it. TMZ.com, Harvey Levin, we know you got to go to your morning meeting. Thanks so much for joining us on the Kevin DeBeat Show.
Bye, guys.
Thanks.
I'm going to reserve judgment until we speak with our guest, Kevin. You think there's too much bandwidth at this point. You
yes.
think they're letting too many people on the internet. I think it's awesome that there's the open expression of ideas and that now it's the democratization of news. Now anybody can get on the internet and say what they want to say without it being filtered by some big corporation. That's what I love about it.
Well, that there's nothing wrong with that. That's good.
Okay.
But that's not all there is. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, our guest is Lori Harfinish. She's on the line right now. She is the hostess of TheResident.net. Lori, welcome to the Kevin DeBeat Show on K-Rock. How are you?
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us.
After that intro.
Now, Lori, what's the deal? You have this this website where you put up rants and raves and interviews and news and content, and you're also on a cable system in New York. Is that right?
Yes, that is right.
Okay. And what's your deal? Are you just some gal who has an opinion who wants it heard, or what's your goal of TheResident.net?
Well, you know, when I moved to New York City, I thought I wanted to be an actress, and then I was doing the whole waiting table things and realized I hated actors, and then I realized I hated a lot of other things that were wrong with society, and I just felt like I wanted to go out there and do something about it and see if there were other people that shared my alternative perspective outside of, you know, what the mainstream media pushes at you.
But you're pretty hot. Why are you so bitter?
I don't think I'm bitter at all. You think I'm bitter?
Yes.
I'm going to have to go with yes on that one.
It seems like it a little bit from a lot of the stuff that you post and just from this 1 minute we've talked. You sound like you're an angry young woman.
No, definitely not.
All right, here's a clip from your website where you're talking about things you hate.
I hate bubble tea. I hate hipsters. I hate know-it-alls. I hate Italian dressing. I hate long plane rides, but I really hate people who say hate all the time.
Okay. All right, then.
Yeah, do you see the irony there?
No, I didn't see the irony. It's so hidden. It's so oblique.
Fun. It's
It's out there. It's like a haze. I don't know where how to get out of that one.
It's too vague. So you're saying don't hate. That's what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Ah.
Do you think a lot of people are tuning in because they care about what you think? Or do you think because it's the internet and this is what I use it for, that you're just a hot chick to look at? I mean, honestly, what do you think?
Well, I think that that is, you know, I think people tune into the internet for whatever they want. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for people to tune in for any particular reason or say, hey, you know, I only want people to tune in that actually use their brains, unlike what you're saying for about yourself.
Well, here's the thing, and this is why it's great that you have both of us on the phone with you, Lori, is because, for instance, I was very deeply in love with you because I had been watching your videos with the sound down. Kevin had been watching your videos with the sound up, hated your guts. So you can see the difference based on how you use the medium.
Right.
Yeah. We love Halloween. Love. It's maybe our favorite holiday. Mm-hmm. And you did a rant on Halloween and what girls dress up like.
So why do girls want to dress like sluts on Halloween? I tend to think it's because they know if they don't dress sexy, they'll go unnoticed at Halloween parties where the boys are very busy ogling the sluts. And that's a shame. Halloween is supposed to be scary, but 8-year-olds wanting to dress like sluts is terrifying. So come on, girls. It's time to band together this Halloween and dress like the creative, confident humans we are and not the sluts that we aren't.
Okay.
Who now, hurt you?
That is why they love Halloween. You know that, right?
That is absolutely pathetic.
Who hurt you?
Say, who hurt you?
Well, Lori.
The person that says, hey, I don't think that you have to dress like a slut to get attention.
All right, but we agree on the 8-year-old thing. That's way too young. But
yeah, of course.
But let's face it, if you're over 18, that's what we enjoy about Halloween.
That's what you enjoy.
Yes.
That's what women enjoy.
I want to go to the parties with you. That's great. I didn't realize this was going to be kind of like an ambushy kind of interview.
It is kind
the
of, yeah.
The great thing is that I can do, you know, I can post about my lousy experience with the K-Rock Morning People.
And Bean can watch it with the sound down.
Anybody can post anything on the internet, but, you know, it's amazing what they allow in radio, too. You know, there's a lot of bandwidth there.
But rather than attacking us, what about the point that women who are
attacking me? You guys started attacking me. You called me bitter.
All right, but you are bitter, clearly, and you're proving it even more right now. But at least answer my question.
I'm not bitter.
Let me ask my question.
What do I have to be bitter about? You're right. I am hot, and I make a lot of money, and I enjoy what I'm doing, and I think I'm making a positive difference in the world.
I'll let the audience be the judge whether you're bitter or not as they hear you right now. Hey, Lori, what about the question that who are you to judge whether women like maybe Lisa who works on the show with us or maybe thousands of other women who are listening who are smart, sophisticated women who enjoy dressing up like that on Halloween because they have fun when they go out? What's wrong with them doing that? Why should you come on and tell them they shouldn't enjoy that?
I think that the difference that I'm making is out of girls who feel insecure. If you listen to the entire piece, it's about girls being insecure, just trying to get attention from that. If you want to, I enjoy my sexuality, and I think women should enjoy their sexuality. But I think there's a difference when you're trying to get attention, that kind of attention, instead of, you know, using your assets in other ways.
But I think Halloween does offer a unique opportunity where you wouldn't dress like that 99% of the time, but it's that one day where if you want to, you can kind of go crazy and be sexy, and it's okay.
I
don't really have a problem with that.
I think you can be sexy any day. But, you know,
A professional woman can't necessarily really show all her assets at other times of her life. And Halloween's just a fun day to do that.
That is true. However, I think you have to agree that a lot of Halloween costumes are things that
are fantastic
in the bedroom and private. Not necessarily. There's a difference between dressing sexy and dressing, you know, in lingerie when you're like 5 minutes from getting it on.
Right, and that's why Halloween rules.
That's why it rules.
I know where you're coming from.
Yeah. Right.
Lori, if you could get a man, he would be so miserable with you.
I'm happily married, thanks.
No. All right, we didn't really start off so that you would take our criticism well, so I apologize for that, but I just have two notes.
This is interesting. I had no idea that you guys were setting me up for an ambush.
I thought we could have a conversation about your points of view, though.
No,
that's not an ambush.
You call calling me bitter right off the bat. And the reason,
Lori, if you could hear yourself, you'd be writing us a thank you letter for pointing it out.
I'm not bitter, absolutely, and that's why I'm taking offense.
Or defensive, either, by the way, right?
And all of my fans absolutely know that I'm not bitter.
All right, here's two notes. Talk less, show your can.
Spoken like a man with a face for radio.
Just absolutely. Not denying it.
They're pretty typical men, I got to be honest.
Not denying that.
The site is theresident.net. You ought to check it out, and you ought to keep the sound down. Our guest has been Lori Harfinis. Thanks for joining us. Have a great time, and we'll look for you at the next Halloween party, Lori.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for the ambush.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye. How do you think that went?
I think it went really well.
She loves you guys.
I think that was good,
and
yeah.
She wants to come on every week. Let's bring her to the next Halloween party.
Let's make it a Thursday thing where we call
Thursdays with Lori
and yell at her, and she yells at us because we're bad. Hey guys, do you think she really meant that I have a face for radio?
No, you're a handsome fella.
You're hot.
Meant that?
You're a good looking fella. Don't you listen to the mean girl?
Oh,
it's 6:58 on the Kevin Beach
here. I'm so depressed.
I think I'm bitter.
Carrie QFM passenger Los Angeles. Her poor husband, by the way. That's that's the guy I feel bad for.
Can you imagine?
We need to send a rescue team. Get him out of that.
Anyway, Psycho Mike went to the Pentagon. That's why he was not here yesterday. If you were wondering why it was so blissfully pleasant to listen to our program yesterday, Mike was so actually in D.C. Oh, wasn't it just nice? Didn't the air just smell fresh and the sun was shining a little brighter? It's just great.
Just sweet, sweet radio.
He'll tell us all about that coming up after the news. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Thursday morning.
Let me tell you something that's great.
All right.
David Letterman.
Is he doing something new? What's going on?
He's great.
Yes.
You know, this writer's strike's going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the first people to be hit were all the late night talk shows.
Right.
Yes.
And because of that, a lot of staffs, not just in late night talk shows, in general, are being let go. I got an impassioned email yesterday from a listener whose dad works in set construction for a TV series.
Right.
And they've informed him, your services will no longer be needed, and so we're going to lay you off.
This is
happening to makeup artists and scenic designers and construction guys and lighting guys. I mean, the people who are really taking the brunt of this strike aren't the writers or the producers. It's the people who make a living going to work every day working on the sets of these films and TV shows.
Yep.
So while a lot of productions are laying off their staffs, David Letterman has announced that he is going to pay his staff out of his own pocket.
No kidding.
Through at least the end of the year while the writer's strike is still going on.
That is awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Now, CBS obviously isn't going to pay because there's no new show, but Dave's going to open his own wallet and pay his staff and give them their full salaries until at least through the end of the year while the strike goes on.
That's beautiful.
That's pretty spectacular for a fellow to do.
That's very cool.
I know he makes
a ton of
insane money.
Yeah.
But still, there's a lot of guys who make insane money who would keep it all and not give any to the folks who need it. So very cool of him to do.
And on a show like Letterman, by the way, that's a lot of salaries you're paying. How many people do you think that is? That's got to be 30 people, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Probably, yeah.
At least. So, good for Dave.
Well, hell, sign me up for that.
Britney Spears' mom is writing a tell-all book about her daughter.
Oh,
yes.
That family.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
Star Magazine reports that Britney is ticked off at her mom because she's not only going to tell the world about her daughter's drug and alcohol abuse, but apparently Lynn is ready to tell the world about Britney's relationship with Justin Timberlake as well.
That's good. That's what you want, is your mom spilling all your secrets.
That is brutal.
Yeah.
I hope the
I mean,
other daughter takes
note.
As
she is, as effed up as Britney Spears is, you don't deserve that kind of treatment from your mom.
No.
You get it from everybody else.
One person you should be able to count to hide your secrets.
Yeah, right. That's sad news. Well, it looks like O.J. Simpson will indeed face trial in that sports memorabilia heist.
I thought he was already in that trial.
No, he was arrested. Yes, he was arrested at the time.
Okay,
and then he was released on bail. And then they always have to do what they call a preliminary hearing, where they look at the evidence and decide whether the DA is going to proceed to press the charges or not.
Sometimes
they don't have enough
evidence.
Right, they drop it.
I got you.
But yesterday was the end of the the investigation, and the judge in Vegas has ruled that he indeed will have to face trial for the sports memorabilia heist, which is now being classified as an armed robbery.
I'm the juice. Whatever that is. I just try to be a good guy.
He'll be facing 12 different counts, including kidnapping, which, if convicted, could get him life in prison.
Oh!
And that is the most bogus of all the charges, by the way. I think he's definitely being overcharged in this because they want to make sure something sticks.
Yeah.
But just because you keep a guy in a room under, you know, with a gun for 5 minutes, it's not kidnapping. It's just not. It's armed robbery.
It's Bean.
Well, I mean, I don't you guys agree? Bean, that's not kidnapping.
We've learned that Bean is pro-rape. Yes. And pro armed robbery and pro kidnapping.
No,
seriously.
You can see how this would affect
Who hasn't
life?
Kept exactly. somebody in their house with a weapon for five
Come
minutes?
Come on, 5 minutes.
Come on.
What's the big deal?
That's
what
nothing.
They should change the law. If it's if 5 minutes or under, it's not kidnapping.
I'm saying
He's
I think
that
it's
this week.
An inappropriate charge. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying armed robbery, yeah, that'll stick. He should get convicted. He should go to jail. I'm not at all for what Simpson did. I'm just saying I don't understand where the prosecution is coming from on this. And I hope they don't blow the case. That's all.
When Marty was wouldn't play tennis with him
yep.
at one time. He,
yep.
he held him in the barn with a rocket launcher pointed mm-hmm. at his groin for like 4 minutes. And then he said, you know, you can go. Scary business, man. Dog the Bounty Hunter has had his fair share of controversy over the last few weeks. But apparently his wife, Beth, she's the one who is just foaming at the mouth over all this. She has said that she is going to do whatever she has to do, even if she loses all of her money and has to eat out of garbage cans, to get revenge on his son, Tucker, who sold the recordings of their private conversation to the National Enquirer.
Well, that sounds healthy.
She is trying to force him out of his apartment currently. Apparently, they pay the rent on his leased apartment.
Well, this is Dog's son from another woman, right?
I don't
First
know.
Wife.
He's got nine
right.
kids. I don't know where they all
but
come
But it's not
from.
Hers.
But it's not her son.
Yeah,
no.
It's not hers, right.
She has contacted his parole officer to get him sent back to prison. Apparently, she thinks she has some dirt on him that would violate his parole.
Wow.
She is pulling out all the stops. She will not rest, she says, until he has been punished for what he did to Dog.
I don't blame her. I don't blame her for feeling that way. I don't blame her for trying to F this guy up. I mean, this is a guy that has been nothing but trouble to their family. And
what if she holds him at gunpoint for
fine.
5 minutes?
I'm fine with that.
Is that
it's
okay?
Fine.
Who
with
hasn't
that.
Done that?
All right, okay.
And at every opportunity, they give this kid another break and let him come and work in the family business, even though he's a dirtbag. And this is how he turns around and repays his father.
Did you see the interview with one of the other sons? I forget. It was Chip or Chet or Link.
They're all pretty much the same.
Cleet or something. I can't remember which one it was. But they asked him, is your dad a racist? And he goes, no. My dad was a racist. He had to shave his head bald. He'd have swastikas tattooed all over himself. And he'd wear army boots. That's what a racist is. And I was like, really? Is that how you can tell someone's a racist?
You actually have to dress that way to
you
be
have
a
to
racist.
Dress like a skinhead?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. I think that's just a Pennywise fan. I think that's anything to do with being a racist.
Today's celebrity birthday is Judge Wapner. Bam, bam, bam. Bam, 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 bam. The defendants are coming into the courtroom.
Remember
love
that,
the beginning
sure.
of the
mm-hmm.
People's
sure.
Court?
He was the best of all those judges.
He was, by far. 88 years old today. Sam Waterston, who stars as ADA Jack McCoy on Law & Order, he is 67 years old today. Jesse Sandoval, drummer for The Shins, turns 33. And Ed Asner, classic actor Ed Asner. Did you ever watch the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Kevin? Were you a fan of that sitcom?
Back here.
What? Did you ever watch The Mary Tyler Moore Show?
I don't know.
That
not
classic
really.
Sitcom from the 70s.
I don't really watch it, no.
Lou Grant, one of the great TV characters of all time.
That played by back hair guy?
Played by back hair guy, nice. Yes. That's how they billed him back in the day. And back hair guy as Lou Grant.
What does a guy have to do in show business to get a little bit of respect from Kevin? The career that Ed Asner has had, and he's known by Kevin as back hair guy. That's it.
Back hair guy.
Don't have so much back here.
It's got to wax your back, I guess.
Come on.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Mike was out yesterday. Psycho Mike got a trip to Washington, D.C., well, technically Arlington, Virginia, to speak at the Pentagon. And, Mike, this is because you've got a little speech that you go around and give about your years as a drug addict, right? You help people through their recovery?
Yeah, I try to. I don't know how much help I am, but
every once in a while, find out about you. By the way,
yeah, every once in a while, something comes along where you go, "How is our government even functioning? How could this possibly happen? How do you go speak at the Pentagon?"
Let me tell you something. You weren't the only one who was wondering that. I myself, who was the guy they invited, was going, "I can't believe this is happening."
Yeah, it's like a setup. They're going to arrest you for an outstanding warrant.
Yeah.
Chris Hansen's.
I was really hoping that, like, I was going to be like Dr. House or something, and I'd get out there, and they'd really have some secret CIA mission, some kick-ass mission for me. But
yeah, sure. That's
really
how they do it. They just recruit people just cold.
Yeah.
So how long were you on stage, Mike?
15, 20 minutes.
Okay, how long before they started giving you the cut signal? About 5 minutes?
Yeah, yeah. I was just giving
that's
them
been our experience.
A discreet middle finger to the guy on the side of the stage.
And how many people in your audience?
Like 200 to 300?
All military guys?
All military. All military.
Now, are these people who have is this just preventative, or are these people who have had drug and alcohol problems already?
Yeah, it was more of a preventative measure. I mean, the United States military is pretty aware that drinking and partying is a part of being in the military.
Right.
They just want to make sure that they don't subsequently make some really horrible decision that could, you know,
but
ruin their lives.
Why don't they get good speakers?
I'm pretty sure they did.
My question.
I'm pretty sure they did. They just started off with the Bush League guys like me first.
I see.
And right. they moved okay. on to the good
All
ones.
Right. When you so you speak at the Pentagon, that was yesterday, but you had to get there the night before for some sort of a walkthrough or some sort of a deal where they told you what you could and could not say. Tell me about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. It was a meeting of just about like the decorum that's expected of you at the Pentagon.
Right.
Which was insane. And I mean, I've never been to a place so strictly guarded. I mean,
well, this business that you work in this room at this radio station is the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, exactly.
In every way.
Yeah.
This is anything goes.
Yeah. I mean, the world I come from is so opposite of the world I was introduced to. It was amazing to me. And, you know, anything that you're talking about the Pentagon. So anything that they could possibly identify as a threat to the United States military or the president or the government.
Any kind of offhanded joke.
Listen. Yeah,
anything.
Yeah, and they said, you know, exactly. We know you come from morning radio and we expect you to have opinions on things and we encourage that. This is not the place to try to push the envelope because we will interpret
certain
things.
We will take you out.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what they said in not so many words.
You know what would have been funny?
Did you see the button?
The button. No, there was no button. No button.
You know what would have been funny if all those guys had weapons and he says the wrong things and they all just pull them up and fire. That'd be awesome.
Half the audience did have weapons. A lot of the Marines did. Most of the audience was Navy guys and they didn't. But a lot of these Marines were walking around totally ready to.
Did you say, I'll bet I can take your weapon off you?
No.
Let's go right now. You and me right now.
No. And
come on,
so
soldier.
Funny. It's so funny because you guys know that I love to talk a big game.
Yeah.
I got introduced into that room,
mm-hmm.
and I've never been less macho.
Yeah. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Or more excited, by the way.
Yeah. 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 I mean
sexually. Seriously.
Yeah. I had to wear my special boner hiding pants.
I bet you did.
You know, don't ask, don't tell.
We wanted to hear your perspective of how the speech went, and it sounds the way you're describing it, like it was pretty straightforward, just like at any other kind of conference where you get up on stage in your little suit and tie in front of a podium, and you speak for about 20 minutes, and that's the end of it. I mean, that's your story, and that's what you're saying happened, right?
Pretty much.
Okay, because it's interesting because we actually have somebody who was there in the room with you at the Pentagon yesterday, Mike.
Really?
And I don't know if you met the Lieutenant Colonel, but Donald Pittman is on the line right now to tell us maybe another part of the story. Good morning, Lieutenant Colonel. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for joining us today.
Hold on a second. Troop, halt! Thank you.
Wow. Sounded like they halted
good.
Mid-step. That was cool.
That's how good they are.
Wow.
Good. The United States Army. All right?
All right.
They're the best in the world.
Absolutely. We're with you on that.
They stop when I say stop.
We're with you on that, sir.
Okay. So, Lieutenant Colonel, we have that right, sir. You were there in the room with our own Psycho Mike at the Pentagon yesterday.
Sadly, yes.
Sadly?
Oh, it didn't go over well?
Well, I guess it did for him.
What happened?
He got it. He got up to give his little speech. He gave his little tour. But you have no idea the effect it had on the morale of the men.
Why? What happened?
Well, we've lost about 25% of the recruits who were listening.
Oh, my God.
What?
Yeah.
That wasn't the goal at all. He was supposed to be helping the men.
I know he was supposed to, but we had 18 men who took their own lives.
Oh!
Could no longer listen to the story.
Oh.
Just snapped. Their minds just snapped with boredom. It was insane.
Really? Was that
I've seen a lot in combat, my friends. I've seen a man smoke pot out of another man's skull.
Right.
But I've never seen boredom snap a man's mind the way it did yesterday.
Wow. He told us he just got up 15 minutes right back down.
Yeah. That's what happened to them, too. 15 minutes right back down.
Now, you were there, Lieutenant Colonel. How long did that 15 minutes seem to those of you in the room who were listening to Mike tell a story?
It was interminable.
Yeah.
Still going on.
Most of the men started screaming, Code Red! Code Red!
What does that mean for the rest of us?
That means take my life, please.
Okay.
I can no longer stand it.
All right.
So there was some assisted suicides.
Oh, that's too bad.
Another dozen or so men. We can't get them out of the gym now.
Oh,
they
really?
Won't leave. All they're doing is lifting weights.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
I can see that.
And there's about a half a dozen guys who you don't even want to know what they're doing to each other.
Oh, well, Mike does have that effect on some men.
It's tragic. You'll never cry till you see a soldier paint his own helmet pink.
Oh,
no. Yeah. And you don't have room for that in the U.S. Army, do you?
Well, you know, just don't tell.
Wow, we apologize.
It's hard not to tell when you're wearing a pink helmet.
Yeah, I think that would make it difficult.
By the way, the pink helmets are opening up at the Acoustic Christmas.
How do you know about that show, Lieutenant Colonel?
I know everything. I'm U.S. Army.
I was coming back from poker night, and I was listening to Loveline,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Drew. and Stryker.
The best. Dr. Drew's the best. Stryker's the best, even with a tail.
So there was a girl that called, and she, this, we're going to title this Love is Blind, because she called up and she had a bunch of problems, and it's really amazing what you can talk yourself into when you feel like you're in love with somebody. All the obvious signs that are absurd. So she's just turned 18. The guy she's talking about is in his mid-30s.
I've been seeing this guy, and he's older than me. 18, he's like in his 30s. I guess he found out I turned 18 this year, but then basically I asked him if he was married.
Okay, so found out he was she was 18.
Okay.
Started hitting on her.
Okay.
She asked him if he was married. Yes, Bean.
That brought my mind to a complete halt.
No, this isn't you, Jed. We're not talking about you. Don't worry about it.
And then he told me that he's still living with his girl, that he's been with for a long time, but they're basically broken up.
Okay, so mid-30s, still living with a girl, but they're basically broken up.
But they can't move out for financial reasons.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what she's got so far. Dr. Drew not buying it even at this point.
Oh, please. Jenny, you're only, don't believe that crap. He is twice your age. And he's living with a girl. He's full of ass.
He is with this girl, Jenny. You know that, right?
Okay, so Stryker asked the girl if she knows that he's really with the girl, and she says,
I know that.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay,
and
so.
Yet?
But love is blind.
Twice his age. It's still with the girlfriend or wife or whoever it is. She's fine with all that.
I know that, but and plus, okay, whenever I go in his car, there's always like two car seats.
Okay, so.
Oh, my God.
Recapping.
But that doesn't mean he has kids.
Recapping. Still with the wife or girlfriend. Two car seats in the back of his car.
Right.
How do you think he explains that away to her?
And then he says it's for his nephews.
Oh, God. Jenny, for crying out loud.
What planet are you from, woman?
I don't know. Like, he's a really nice guy. Like, he takes me on everything.
He's a nice guy. Who is cheating on his girlfriend with kids, lying to you, trying to go after a girl who's half his age. What a great guy. Come on, Jenny, come on.
So Drew's really disgusted. And then she comes back after that with, what should I do?
I like that he takes her out in everything.
Everything, sure. So your point, Kevin, is that perhaps there are times where we're blinded by love.
Yeah.
There may be some red flags that we ought to be paying attention to, but we just don't see them until it's too late.
And we want calls from people who have had those red flags in their life. More than one. The more red flags, the better. It's the dumbest relationship you've ever been in because you were able to ignore A, B, C, D, and E about somebody.
And we've all been there at some point.
Could be about a girl, could be about a guy. I mean, how do you talk yourself into the fact that the guy's twice as old as you and living with his girlfriend and he's got car seats? How do you tell yourself, that's for his nephew. That's what that's for.
Because he's really nice and he takes me out and everything.
Because most uncles drive around with two car seats in their car. Come on.
Of course.
And you just want to knock her in the head and say, what are you doing?
And he just doesn't take me over to his house because it's far.
Right. So if you've been in a relationship and you were blinded by love and you missed strike 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and now, and all your friends could see it, by the way.
Yeah.
All your family could
see
it.
Well, that's the thing. And Lisa pointed this out earlier, is sometimes you can't see it because you're in the middle of it. You know, you're too close to it. But everybody on the outside goes, you're giving that guy everything in your checking account and you trust him. Why? And to you, it makes perfect sense because this is your guy or gal and you trust them and you can believe that nothing can go wrong. And you find out after the fact, maybe I should have been a little more observant.
So maybe you were a bit dumb in the relationship that you had. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls.
I knew that he had a lot of cash and he didn't have a job and lots of people were coming by with baggies all night long, but I didn't know he was a drug dealer. That's the kind of conversation we have. Blinded by love. Kevin heard a call on the Loveline show this week, a woman who just had no idea or at least was convincing herself that the guy she was with was not married with kids.
Obvious huge monster signs like two car seats in the back of the car, and she bought that it was for his nephew, and you go,
no way.
No way.
No.
I knew the picture on the wall at the post office looked exactly like my husband, but I didn't think he really was the guy. I guess I should have known. So those are the calls we're looking for, 1-800-520-1067. The more steps, the more things that happen that should have been the red flag to you that you missed, the better the story. But you can call us right now if you've got one.
Let's begin with Mariella in Beverly Hills. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are good.
Good.
You were blinded by love?
Yeah, I was engaged to an immigrant, and on top of that, he was a drug dealer as well, and he lived in a two-bedroom apartment with everybody and his cousin.
Now wait a minute.
Members.
By immigrant, you mean illegal?
Illegal.
Okay, because there's a difference. Okay, so he was an illegal alien.
He was illegal, and my parents I forced my parents to save up money, and my parents were like, no, if you marry him, we're moving to Virginia. Don't ever talk to us. Don't even call us ever again. So,
dude.
They were just telling me they did not want me to marry him okay. at all. And, they're like, it's not going to go anywhere. It's
and of
not
course,
gonna go anywhere.
Of course, you went through with it.
I was engaged for 2 years, and then my mom slapped me upside the head. And when my dad told me that he was going to leave to Virginia and just leave me alone to suffer, I was like, all right, after 2 years, I'm fine. I'll give up the ring, and that's it. I ended the relationship.
So what was the problem with the guy, though? What was the thing that you missed that you should have caught?
The whole immigration and the fact that I had to drive everywhere because, of course, he didn't have a driver's license.
Ah.
And I was his chauffeur, and then sometimes I even had to, like, do drug runs for him.
Oh, wow. But you were in love.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, I'll wait for you in this corner. Oh, my God. There were some points where I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to get caught.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Last question. Do you think that why didn't he try to marry you? It seems like he could have been legal if he had married you and could have got a green card.
We went to Vegas, and he's like, let's get married right now. And I said, oh, I have a migraine. I don't want to.
So
and
you knew in the back of your mind somewhere that he was trouble.
Yeah. But I was just like, no, I'm happy, and the ring's beautiful, so I'll stay. No.
So we're just going to go pick up a package then is what you're saying, just a package.
And I'm like, and sometimes I would ask him, how much am I going to get out of this? He goes, I'll buy you dinner. Let's just go.
Nice. Oh.
Well, Mariella, I'm glad you called. Thank you for the story. You'd be happy to know that there's actually a very famous K-Rock song that's been written about you. I think we have that right here.
Girls who do drug runs for their Raider fan boyfriends are whores.
Let's talk to Linda. She is in Van Nuys on line 6. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Hey, Linda, blinded by love. What's your story?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Linda.
One of the big things you missed.
Hi. Okay, well, I got married at 18. I know, bad sign.
Sure.
And, a month after we got married, he actually made out with another girl.
Okay, good.
He told me, and I was blinded, and I just thought he was going to change. So then, about a month ago, he cheated on me with my friend.
Good.
Which was nice. And again, blinded by love. So his birthday passed last week. I bought him a new motorcycle. I bought him a new PS3 on my credit. And he said he was going to change and he loved me. And I left to go visit my family for the weekend. I come home to find a condom in his pocket and that it was only just in case he met someone. So, yeah. So I'm kind of, retarded and so mad at myself. But
you bought him a motorcycle.
Yeah, I cannot believe
it. Do you still have the motorcycle in PS3? Because...
Yeah, actually, I'd like away, so, I can drive the motorcycle, so I'm fine.
You know, it's funny, Linda, we have a song for you.
Girls named Linda who buy motorcycles for douchebags are whores.
Thanks, really catchy.
Thank you for the song.
All right. It's not like she wasn't feeling bad enough. We're just gagging on.
Pile on.
It's not just girls. Let's talk to Dave. He is in Chino this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dave, blinded by love. You had a bad experience with a girl. You should have seen the warning signs but missed them.
Yeah, man. It was awful. How you doing this morning,
good.
Fellas?
Good. What happened?
Lisa? Hi.
I met this girl at a club, and we went in and out a couple times at the beginning, probably about the third or fourth date that we're going out already. She... we're out on our date. All of a sudden, she gets a phone call. She has to go home because one of her kids is sick.
Okay.
So that's the first time I ever hear about the kids.
Oh, you didn't know she had kids. Okay.
No, it's already like the fifth date,
Okay.
And I'm like, what's going on? So I take her back home. It turns out she has two kids.
Okay.
All right. So, I kind of get past that and so forth. The relationship continues, it gets bigger, whatnot. Probably about 6 months into it, she breaks it down. She's like, oh, my, she's actually living at her mother-in-law's house.
Okay.
And her boyfriend's about to get out of jail in a couple of weeks.
Oh, so she had a boyfriend the whole time,
but
he was in prison?
Yeah, and she's living at the guy's house, at his mom's house.
Okay. So she's dating while he's in jail. She's living with his mom, their kids, and dating you.
Exactly. And I'm over there like,
two or three times a week just on their couch and watching TV and what. And
so what happened to you when he got out?
Well, when he got, I stuck around. I laid low for a while. He came out. All of a sudden, one day he shows up at my work. We have a confrontation in the parking lot, and somehow I still continue the relationship with her.
Excellent. That's a good choice, and that's why we have a song for you, Dave.
Guys who date women who try to hide their kids are douchebags.
Ralph, you want to know what you're not getting for your birthday on Saturday from me?
Sure.
What is Ralph not getting for his birthday this year? When Bean gets screwed out of, we all want to know.
All this week, I've been on the eBay trying to get Ralph an awesome gift for his birthday. And so far, I just keep getting outbidded on everything. So far, the Philadelphia Eagles neon sign for the bar at your house, you're not going to be getting that.
Right.
The $6 million man lunchbox, I'm sorry to say, with thermos, you're not going to be able to get that. Yeah. The 1966 original TV's Batman punching bag, you're not going to be getting that. I'm sorry, I got outbid on that.
God.
And now it comes with the certificate of authenticity, the hand-signed autograph from Grey's Anatomy's Sandra Oh. You're not going to be, unfortunately, I got outbidded on that.
Damn.
I tried, but no.
What did that go
85
for?
85 cents? $18.99. It was just too much. I don't know, but I wasn't really doing
I don't blame you there.
But that was going to be your hot item, so I'm sorry to say you're not going to be.
Dodged a bullet.
Bean, I wish you would have bought that.
What is Ralph not getting this year?
Not getting this on his birthday.
What is Ralph not getting this year?
It's time to find out.
Well, unfortunately, it's the Sandra Oh autograph, so you may not get anything at all this year because we're running out of time with your birthday this weekend.
When did the Cookie Monster start doing our intros, by the way?
I don't know.
Hey, Bean, can you hear those songs?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Why can't you hear them?
Just checking.
My ears are bleeding.
I'm sorry, was it too loud?
Louder. And bad. All right, it's 7:56. Your tickets are next with a new game that we're calling It Takes Two.
It Takes Two.
It Takes Two, baby.
Hmm.
It Takes Two.
For night number two.
That's right.
1-800-520-1067. Time for the show.
The person who gets it right?
Tickets for night number
takes
two.
Takes two.
That's
tickets.
Oh.
Takes two tickets for night number two.
That's correct.
Oh.
It Takes Two. See what I've done there?
How many does it take?
I think
two.
We get it.
Takes two.
Which night?
Two.
Okay.
We're only 2 hours away, speaking of two, from the greatest moment in television history.
2 hours away from the greatest moment? What is it? What are you talking about?
Jessica Simpson co-hosts on The View.
Oh, that's today.
Yeah. Today and tomorrow.
She's going to ad lib, and it's going to be bad.
Set your T-voice, boys and girls, because she's going to say something dumb.
This might be the first time in my life I wanted to watch that damn show.
Me too. Looking forward to it.
Oh.
She's filling in for Hasselbeck? Is that what's going on
here? Yes.
I hope she gives a lot of opinions.
Eva Braun Hasselbeck is her name.
Great.
Congratulations to Ellen Pompeo. She of Grey's Anatomy fame. She got married in a secret ceremony over the weekend to her fiancé, Chris Ivory. Us Weekly Magazine reports the two did the deed at City Hall in New York City, where Mayor Michael Bloomberg served as their witness. Like he's got nothing better to do than hang out with the Grey's Anatomy chick and watch her get married.
Apparently he doesn't.
Apparently the two are very happy, so that won't last.
Well, the good news is maybe now she'll gain that 40 pounds that all new brides gain. You know, she needs it.
So she'll only be 20 pounds underweight.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Speaking of weight and how to look good, Kelly Ripa has a plan for you.
Okay.
You know, everyone's talking about how hot her body is and how great she looks and stuff.
Phenomenal body for all the kids she's had.
She says it's all about the jeans. She tells Fitness Magazine that you have to buy a pair of jeans which are tight on your ass. This way it treats the jeans that work like a push-up bra for your boobs, and they just push up your cheeks and it makes your butt look good.
Huh.
Well, I think that's true if you have a decent-looking butt.
She says that's the secret.
Huh.
That and she weighs 98 pounds, so right. that helps, too.
And that is about the jeans.
There's that.
The other kind.
Aha! The other kind, you say!
See, when you first said it, that's what I thought you were referring to.
No, it's about the denim type of jeans.
Huh.
This has got to chap Britney Spears' ass.
Like, that's not chapped already.
People Magazine, that's her thighs.
Oh.
Her ass is a different part. People Magazine says that Shar Jackson says...
Wow. All
right.
That she is best friends with Kevin Federline. They hang out all the time, and Kevin brings over his two kids with Brittany, and their two kids. They all bond and share time and play together, and they're always doing family outings.
Yeah, sure.
Even after he left her for Britney Spears when she was pregnant.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't believe it for one second.
But
Don't you think it just has to spin Britney Spears out
sure.
to read that story in People magazine? Sure. Doesn't make her even more mental than she already is?
She's gotten so far over the edge that people are starting to doubt their initial impression of K-Fed. Not me. K-Fed's still the same dude.
No, he is a good man and a good father, and we love him.
Kevin, what makes you think that Shar Jackson, for the sake of the children she has with Kevin Federline, might not extend an olive branch to their father?
I'm not doubting her. I'm doubting him. He's still a douchebag, people. He's not father of the year all of a sudden just because Britney goes crazy. Come on!
He certainly looks good in comparison, that's for sure.
What would you have us do with those children, Kevin? What would you have us
take
do with
them? Take them away.
Take them?
Give them to anyone.
Have them raised by wolves?
Yes.
Or wolves?
Yes.
Did you see that Jaden James, one of the Britney kids, made his first statement to the press yesterday?
No, I'd love to hear it.
I want my mom to go to a good rehab where she'll actually stay.
All right.
Yeah, that's good.
Wow. He knows.
He's a good talker, that kid. Yes,
he is, for his age. Yeah.
A year and a half old.
And the New York Post reports that Cheetah, the chimpanzee, Tarzan's sidekick, is finally getting around to writing his memoirs.
What? He's a chimpanzee?
Cheetah the chimp has signed a deal with a publisher, and his book, Cheetah, My Story, will be in bookstores next fall.
What? I don't...
The
I'm not
aging
this
chimpanzee
one.
Is now 75 years old. He was the original sidekick to Johnny Weissmuller's Tarzan in the old black-and-white Tarzan movies.
Right, but you said writing a book.
Cheetah apparently liked to hang out with women, according to his agent. Spent some quality time with famed researcher Jane Goodall. And likes to watch his old movies with his grandson.
Hey, Ralph.
The publisher says the book will be a dish on a career as Hollywood's most famous swinger. Because he used to swing from vines in those movies.
Oh, I see.
Along with Tarzan, who also swung.
There must not be
swang
any stories today.
Swinged.
To get
Ralph,
to that
make
one.
Make your point.
To choose that story to
Cheetah the Chimp's writing a book.
Okay, then. Yes.
That's going to be great.
Yes, it will.
The guy showed what he's made of, and it's mostly heart.
See, they're trying to convince us that a monkey's going to write a book.
You're trying to convince us that a monkey's
going to
write a book.
No, I'm reading you the New York Post story. That's what I'm doing.
Exciting story.
And the publisher is telling us how Cheetah's going to write his story.
That's bullshit.
Does anyone smell that?
Don't you see?
Yeah, I do.
You don't get it.
I do.
The monkeys are going to write books. That's the first step.
Right.
Next thing you know, Caesar standing on the burning steps of the Congress building. All the other chimps have guns in their hands, and it's all
That's
over.
Right, man.
And we're in
That's
chains.
Once they start writing books, lights out. Just
That's
close
right.
the door. Just lock it behind you. Because human race, shop closed.
Gone.
You got
I'm with
me?
You on that. I'm
you
with you on
me?
That.
Yeah. All right. This is usually the part where...
the host. I was thinking, like, this guy's a little bit of a tool at first.
This is usually the part where somebody plays audio of Caesar the chimp causing an uprising with the rest of the apes.
Yeah, I don't have the access to that.
I was waiting for that.
It would take a while to find.
Where was that? Where
oh,
did
it's
keep
someplace
that?
Deep in our
is
machinery.
Is that the vault? Is that
it's
downstairs in the,
yes.
in the hilarious comedy monkey vault?
Yes, it is.
Don't have that on your fingertips.
And it has
huh?
a timed lock on it, so we have to unlock it, and it opens
so
like a day later.
Maybe a spark of recognition
no.
I would see in your eyes. Maybe you'd say, wait a minute, I have audio of him doing that. And then you would like furiously, while I was vamping, you would furiously hit buttons and
dig that
up. Let me
see if I got this straight. You thought there was going to be any kind of spark of recognition in my eyes?
I know.
Maybe
hope
a few more
eternal.
Minutes of setup, maybe, is what was necessary
hope,
there.
Hope springs eternal. That's what
no,
I'm saying.
Or as Kevin says, spring hopes eternal.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, there is that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Nobody really interesting. Jesse
really?
Sandoval from The Shins. He's 33.
Nice guy, but no.
Yeah. Sam Waterston on Law & Order. Plays Jack McCoy in that show.
Yeah.
He's
67.
Good.
Okay. How about singer Petula Clark? Anyone?
My cousin.
Yeah.
Your cousin. There you go. Bean's cousin, Petula Clark. Send her a card, Bean.
I don't really know her.
She's 75 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Smooth.
What are you excited about,
smooth
Ralph?
Smooth machine.
It's a hell of an operation we got going here.
Sure is a finely crafted right. comedy instrument
styling.
But here's what's important. This is the crux of the matter here. We're talking about night number two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007, just announced here on the Kevin and Bean Show 25 hours ago. Here's the lineup. Muse, Feist, Jimmy Eat World, Modest Mouse, The Shins, Silver Sun Pickups, and Spoon. That's what you win tickets to. All you have to do is name that famous two.
Hey, kids, you want to win tickets to K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007?
Yeah!
Well, all you have to do is name that famous two.
Name that famous two. Name that famous two.
Number two.
Smokey Johnson, the
won't you join us tonight? Two.
How does this one work today, Ralph? I know we have callers on the line to play the game, but what are they going to be doing?
Do you guys get the feeling that Omar is about 5 minutes away from a Chris Hansen visit? Does anyone get that feeling?
It's a lot of childlike intros now in his repertoire.
I'm very scared by that.
This is how we play the game. The winner, of course, will receive two tickets for night two. So we thought it only appropriate that we ask you trivia questions regarding the number two. These are famous twos. Either the question or the answer will involve the number two.
Okay.
All you need is to answer the question correctly, and you will go into a drawing. And Lisa May will pick out our grand prize winner, receiving a pair of tickets for night two.
Is it possible that the answer will either involve the number one or the number three?
No, sir.
No. Okay.
No, there will be no ones and no threes.
There's a hint.
It's completely revolving the number two to celebrate the second night K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007.
I think I understand. I still think it's going to fail. I don't know why. But let's try contestant number one to get to the drawing to win the tickets. Contestant number two, then. This is going to be Joey. He's on line two in West Covina. Joey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for hanging on. Are you ready to name that famous two?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Here's your question. Dixon Ticonderoga is the manufacturer of this famous writing instrument.
Number two pencil?
That's correct,
yes,
sir.
How does he do it? Yeah.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. See how easy this game is?
You go in the drawing.
Okay.
Go in the
drawing.
I'm with you. So far, so good.
Let's go to Ted in Hollywood. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, guys.
Ted.
Hello.
Ted. Yes. Although Aaron Eckhart will play him in the upcoming Dark Knight movie, Tommy Lee Jones was the first actor to play this Batman villain on screen.
That famous two.
In Batman Forever, Tommy Lee Jones played this famous Batman villain on screen.
Batman villain.
Mr. Two.
Mr. Two.
He gave it a shot.
At least
right?
guess.
At least it was a good try guess. Since he didn't know it. Yeah.
No, a Two-Face. Yeah. Two-Face is the character.
Right. Thank
sorry,
you.
Yeah. Sorry, Ted.
Although, Mr. Two, if anyone from Warner Brothers is out there, take a note. That might be a good future villain.
Get to work.
Katie in Monrovia. Good morning.
Morning.
Right. Katie, as of September of this year, over 120 million units have been sold, making this the world's best-selling video game console.
PlayStation 2.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
Nicely
correct.
Done.
So excellent. Far,
well
we're
done.
2 for 3. How about that?
How about
good.
That?
Yeah. Let's go to our second contestant. Let's say good morning to, does that work or no?
No.
Tamar in Reseda. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Tamar, Robert Wagner and Rob Lowe both played the character number two in this comedy movie trilogy.
Oh, crap.
Number two.
Yeah, that was their actual name on screen.
That was the character name, number two. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, my God.
Sorry. The Austin Powers movies.
Austin Powers.
They were in the Austin Powers movies, and I played number two.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, baby.
Don't behave.
All right. Let's go to Matt in Irvine. Good morning, Matt.
Whoa. What's up, guys? What's your name?
Hello, Matt.
Matt, this Yankee shortstop wears the number two and bangs insanely hot chicks like Jessica Alba.
I'm going to go with Alex Rodriguez on that one.
Cheater.
Sorry,
Jeter. We have to take your first
answer.
She
thought of that first.
Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter.
What do you
that hurts.
All right, let's
that
go
hurts.
To Fred in La Puente.
Yo, what's up?
Hey, Fred. Speaking of Derek Jeter and Jessica Alba, the herpes simplex 2 virus can be found on what part of the body?
Lips.
Oh,
well, hold on a sec.
Wait a sec. That's,
if we're going to be technical.
Technically, that is
that's
true.
not where the herpes simplex 2 virus centers.
What lips is he talking about here, Ralph? Come on.
Bean, why do you have to have that kind of mind?
Come on. Give it to me.
I'm sorry. No. It's genitals.
It's genitals.
Genitals is what we were
herpes
looking for.
Herpes 2 is the genitals herpes form.
Wanted you to win. But yeah.
By the way, if Derek Jeter did that to Jessica Alba, seriously, shouldn't he stand trial? Shouldn't somebody put him to death?
Yeah, he should pay some sort of penalty.
All right, let's go to Adrian in Redlands. Good morning, Adrian.
Morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hello.
Adrian.
Name that famous two.
This is the only movie sequel in history to win the Academy Award for Best Picture.
Okay.
Movie sequel. That would be something two.
Right. Naked Gun 2?
Yes.
And a half?
Yeah. We could only wish.
No.
This is not Name That Famous 2.5, my friend.
The Godfather 2. The Godfather 2 won Best Picture.
Should have known it.
Yeah.
Shoulda.
Sorry,
sure
dude.
Shoulda.
All right. Want to do one more?
I don't know if we have another contestant, do we?
Yes, we do. D, we have D. Is okay. On line 5.
D.
D in Alhambra. Hi.
I can't believe it. I didn't.
Well, let's see if you can answer this question.
Oh, then.
This legendary Air Force spy plane is probably better known as the name of a famous Irish rock band.
Oh, man, this sounds hard.
Yeah, but listen.
Because you didn't listen to the question.
It sounds hard, but it's not.
I know
all.
You're nervous, but listen to the question again.
This legendary Air Force spy plane is probably.
What?
I'm sorry?
Read again. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, why don't you not interrupt as he tries to read it again?
I don't like D.
I think
D.
she has it right.
I don't like D at all.
What was your answer, D?
Air Force Two.
Air Force Two.
Air Force Two, she
that's
said,
a good
Kevin.
That
Air
is Force a great
two.
Band. Irish. Great Irish rock band.
That's a good Irish band.
Kevin says, I think she has the
I
answer.
I thought she said it. All Air Force Two.
Yeah. Yeah. Doofus, we were looking for U2 is what we were looking
U2.
For.
U2.
Because you were too busy talking. That's why.
Second half of the question said famous Irish rock band. They're probably the most famous one.
All right, so it's just Joey and Katie.
Really?
Interestingly that we have two, right?
Wow.
We have two people who qualified.
Two. See that? Two.
How does it work?
That's amazing.
And the winner is Joey in West Covina.
Joey!
Congratulations, Joey.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
You know what night you're going?
Number two.
That's correct.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think that game was a big piece of number two.
We have a charity that my wife's running it, let's be honest. It's been a nonprofit charity. It's been for about 16 years. It's for families that are torn apart by domestic violence. And especially this time of the year, when people have to flee their own homes, the moms have to, in most cases, grab their kids and just
get out
so they can stay safe. They don't really have a lot of extra money for gifts and for holidays and for food and for all that kind of stuff. So probably our biggest push throughout the years has been at the holiday time, mm-hmm. Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever. And I have my wife on the phone. Melissa's here. Good morning.
Good morning.
You mean the Duchess of Tarzana is on the line?
Let me apologize for my voice, but as you know, my husband's had a hard time getting out of bed lately, so I've had to yell at him every single morning.
Yeah.
You are the human alarm clock these days.
Happens.
We have said don't seem to be working. So.
You go to krock.com and the Kevin and Bean page. Right at the top of the page, there's a link that you can click on it, and there's a bunch of different ways that you can help this time of year if you'd like to. One is to go to our website and adopt a family, which is
friendsandhelpers.org.
Right.
Hey, can I adopt the blacks, or are they still living with Larry David?
They're still living
with... The blacks are on our list now.
Good.
Please feel free.
Yeah, feel free to do that. Now, but what happens is some of these people that are in shelters, they ask these kids what they want specifically. So we have a specific list of kids, ages, what they want. You don't have to get them that, but just so you have some kind of a guide to...
Definitely.
Give you some background. Some of the things that people ask for are things... they ask for food. They ask for a warm coat, a sweater, a jacket. I mean, some of the needs are very, very simple. And very necessary.
And if you're anywhere near the Huntington Beach area, there's a hotel, the Hyatt Regency Huntington Beach Resort and Spa, every Thursday afternoon in November, so this afternoon from 5 to 7, they're having a toy drive. So you can bring your kids, maybe bring in an unwrapped toy.
Or a gift card.
Show up, get some hot chocolate and stuff like that.
That's great.
We'd like to thank them. And the major thing that we're going to do is an auction. And there's a link at krock.com, the top of the Kevin and Bean page. It's charityfolks.com. And 100% of the money that you spend goes to these people that need it, which is not typical for charities. It's usually much less than that. But we have a bunch of stuff that we think you, the K-Rock audience, would like. A K-Rock acoustic Christmas tickets, including orchestra seats, VIP.
And you get to meet Kevin and Bean.
Yeah.
Come on. Who doesn't want to do that?
Did I ask you about that, Bean? I don't remember if I ran that by you.
I forgot to email you.
Yeah.
You didn't. But why drive the price down? Why not just stop at the great orchestra seats and the VIP backstage passes? Leave Kevin and Bean out of it.
Well, you can meet Kevin and Bean if you want. And you
right,
can
you
also,
don't have to.
You can also meet Linkin Park and you can meet Serge.
No, ooh. We don't have the Linkin Park thing.
We don't have the Linkin Park thing, so I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
All right. So far, Kevin didn't ask me about something.
Sorry.
Didn't ask Melissa about something.
We still have the drumhead signed by Metallica.
Yes, we do. And we have a Foo Fighters signed guitar.
We have that. Dave Grohl and Taylor Hawkins.
Wow.
We have signed collector's edition of the World of Warcraft, The Burning Crusade.
We have a guitar signed by Flea.
We have Mallrats, Clerks, Dogma, all on DVD, signed by Kevin Smith.
Great.
Very cool to do that. We have Team Chivas soccer ball and jersey signed by the entire team.
You can get a soccer ball signed by Mr. David Beckham.
We have a 24 DVD, Kiefer Sutherland. There's a bunch of stuff. You can get a personalized outgoing message from Ray Romano.
You can get,
which is odd, right?
You can get an original, the original police press photo originally signed by all the members of the police. And if you had to know what I had to do to get that, it wasn't pretty.
Yeah, well, I don't think we want to talk about that.
Yeah, I don't think we should talk about that either.
But anyway, it's charityfolks.com, and the auction starts today. And again, 100% of the money goes to these families that need it. And
we'd like to really encourage you to go to friendsandhelpers.org and adopt a family of your own. And what's really important about that is if you have kids, and come on, K-Rock listeners, we know where you're spending your money.
Weed.
And you can adopt a family and know that when you're sitting around with your family on Christmas morning after you've had your morning smoke out, you can know that there's another family that is having Christmas because of you.
I have a question about that, Melissa, because I'm very intrigued by this idea of being able to, quote-unquote, adopt a family, because you don't actually have to see them, right? You don't have to spend time with them or anything like that.
This is perfect for a person like
yeah.
You don't have to see them.
You do it from a distance.
You do it from a distance. You don't talk to them. You don't have anything to do with them, but you give them something.
Okay.
And you can feel good about it, and you never touch them.
Would you want
to? I'm going to do that.
Would you want to read the thank you notes, or is that too much personal interaction? Thank you notes from the kids.
I'd prefer they never contacted me at all, to tell you the truth. But
Bean, we won't send you a thank you or anything, but I will tell you that we do get personalized thank yous from the families, and I want to share this with you. We got a thank you from a kid who said, I didn't think anybody cared about me or loved me.
Aww.
And you know, and this kid got a $25 Target gift card.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's
really sweet.
That's sweet. And it's heartbreaking stuff, too. And you don't know this probably as much until you have kids. I can't imagine not being able to buy my kids something at Christmas.
Oh,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, that's, I can't imagine being in that
especially
position.
Since you've got so much to make up for the rest of the year.
Exactly.
I mean,
really,
you have to buy them something.
The last 12 weeks.
I have been in Vegas a little
bit.
Yeah. So I have to buy off my own kids. But
let me, we've given you a lot of information, but let me tell you where you can find it on the website if you want to find out about the deal in Huntington on Thursday afternoons, if you want to find out about the charity auction, if you want to find out about adopting a family. You can go to two ways to divert your attention here. You go to the Kevin and Bean section of KRock.com, click on where it says Kevin and Bean, you'll see it. It's the very top link. And from there, you can get to the link to the actual charity, which is Friends and Helpers Foundation. And as Kevin points out, and I believe this to be true, 100% of the money that is raised does go to the people who need it. There's no administrative costs. They're doing this kind of on their own dime. And they've had a lot of help over the years from a lot of people who have donated their time, too.
The IRS says that you have to give 5% of the money you raise to the people who you're raising it for.
That's all that's required?
Yes. And you can spend 95% on overhead and salaries and everything else. And that's absurd.
And we don't do that. Kevin and I don't do that. And I also want to say, I do want to say a huge thank you to the K-Rock audience and the K-Rock artists. We've had tremendous support from all of them. And, you know, we don't have time to name them, but there's a lot of K-Rock artists who really do come in and support the foundation.
Sure.
And they're really cool guys and have been really great. And we do appreciate it, but we really do need you this year. It's for some reason, it's really slow this year, and we need a little extra push.
Well, let me just suggest maybe in that Adopt a Family program, get us some Japanese girls up there we can adopt.
Yeah.
Maybe things will start looking up. You know
I don't think you're not actually adopting. Oh, forget it.
Bean, remember, you don't want to touch him or see him.
Well, let's not jump to conclusions.
All right. Thank you, babe. KRock.com. Bean, did you say it was the top thing at KRock.com? The top?
I'm saying if you click on Kevin and Bean, it's the top link in our section.
Hey, Lightning? Yeah, that's a mistake.
Is it not supposed to be there?
No,
it's
we're
just
not putting
above Miss Double December.
No, we don't put anything above Miss Double December. The charity link's above Miss Double December.
I'm sorry. Yes, it is.
Oh, for God's sakes, we have to have priorities. We'll flip that, but you can go and look for it under Miss Double December.
Okay,
which is where we all want to be later today. We play that cake song because sometimes you just have to shake that ass.
Of course,
sure.
You know, Kevin Abid Show. It's 8:42.
What about K-Rock listener Josh, who joins us on the line right now? What's Josh's story? I want to hear about Josh. What's Josh got to say? Where's Josh coming from?
Hey, Josh.
Morning, Kevin and Bean. Lisa, how are you?
Hi, Josh.
Good. We were talking about our Ask series, and somebody suggested Ask a Jehovah's Witness, and we were talking about the fact that Michael Jackson was a Jehovah's Witness at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought up, you know, if he's a Jehovah's Witness, that means he had to go door to door. And he's been super famous since he was a tiny kid.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Josh writes into us that he's a K-Rock listener, and you personally went with Michael Jackson door-to-door?
Yes.
That is fantastic. Unbelievable. How did that happen?
Okay, well, this is. I'll just give you a little background story. I was raised as one up until I was about 15 years old or so.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so during the time that I was involved with it, when I was around 11 or 12 years old.
Oh, no. Oh, I think we can all see where this is going. No! What could be wrong with Michael Jackson, an 11-year-old boy?
It involved Jesus juice and locked bedroom doors.
All right, go ahead.
So this is about the time that Thriller was like, you know, the biggest album.
Mid-80s, right, okay.
And so there was times, like you said, to require, you know, your fulfillment of being involved, you would go around door to door knocking on people's doors trying to get them involved or whatever, and there was probably a half a dozen times or so where I personally went with him.
With Michael Jackson.
With Michael Jackson. And people would ask him, you know, are you Michael Jackson? And he would say, no, my name is Joe.
Huh. Joe is his dad's name, right?
Right.
I think his middle name or sign his dad's name. Yeah.
But what about this? And this is what made Kevin skeptical of your story when we first saw your email. Is wouldn't Michael Jackson only go out with people in his inner circle, or was he not so crazy back then that he still interacted with the general public?
Yeah, he was not. He was definitely not crazy back then. He was very low key and very mellow, but he didn't have the kind of people that he has around him now, like the bodyguards and
but people forget
the madness.
That CD, Thriller, was like one of the biggest CDs of all time.
Yeah.
He was monster huge.
I know. I mean, this is the time when he was like, you know, he broke off and, you know, he did Off the Wall or whatever.
Right.
And he was like, you know, just the hugest pop star in the world, you know.
Didn't that just flip people out when they opened their door and there's the biggest pop star in the world standing there with a Bible?
Well, you know, most of them, you know, would reckon, you know, I'll be honest with you, you know, the general public is really not the smartest group of people in the world. But
You also don't expect to see Michael Jackson at your door.
No, that's true.
Yeah, that would be hard to get your head around.
Right, like, I mean, you open the door.
There's no way. I don't care what he looks like.
I'm not seeing what I'm seeing right now. I don't know what it is, but it can't be what I think it is.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there were times where people would open the door and they would instantly recognize who he was, and then there was other times where people would open the door and they had, you know, they would look at him and they would think it was him, but then he would say his name was something else and they would just kind of blow it off.
It'd be embarrassing to say you're Michael Jackson if he wasn't, right? So you just
anything. Now, did he do any of the talking?
Oh, yeah, he did most of it because, like I said, I was just kind of a kid at the time, so I didn't really do much, to be honest with you.
So he was the lead conversationalist. He was the guy saying, sorry to bug you today, but...
Yeah, pretty much, you know, would you be interested in buying a magazine, you know, whatever, and... You know, here's our, you know, we're right down the street. This is the, I don't know if you know this, Kevin, but this is the place in Woodland Hills area on the Avenue of San Luis. That's the one
I'm not familiar with that one, but that's so weird.
You know, I had, it's interesting that we're talking to you today, Josh, because just 2 days ago, I had the, you know, nice looking, well groomed guys in suits knock on my door. They were the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're still out there. It's still part of the deal. Now, how does it work? Are you required to do it for a certain amount of time to graduate to the next level of Jehovah's Witnessdom? Or what is the deal? What is it they tell you to do?
Well, basically, you kind of, to go the door to door thing, it's kind of like a voluntary type of thing. You're basically doing it to get the word out or whatever.
Oh, I thought you were required to in that religion.
Well, in some parts you are. If you're like a higher up in the organization or in the congregation, whatever you want to call it, you are required to go out and do a certain amount of time. And then you log in. They used to do it where you used to log in your time, and then you turned it in.
All right.
Well, I think that's kind of how they got you involved, and that's how you decided if whether or not you were going to go to the next step type of thing, you know?
Did anything strange happen? Do you have any great stories about you'll never believe the time I was out with Michael Jackson and, or was it all kind of just boring?
No, there was times where, you know, like we would go door to door or whatever, and then we'd go get lunch and he would literally be mobbed by people. I mean, it was...
At lunch. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there was times where he would, you know, we would be driving down the street or whatever, and people would, you know, look over and recognize him, and then, you know, by the point of pedestrians on the side of the street, he would be surrounded.
But he wasn't like, I mean, this wasn't his phase where he was bleaching his skin, or he was in a
but he'd had some
oxygen
surgery already.
Tank or whatever.
Yeah, he had his nose done by that point, but he still
he
still looked great. I mean, he still was a real good-looking kid at that point, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, he was black, you know, pretty much.
He was black back then.
Yeah,
that's how long ago we're talking about.
That's back when he was
black. He looks like a white woman now, you know. He's not a white man anymore.
Now, Josh, did he touch you?
No, he never did.
Took a while.
That
took
was a pause.
He paused, didn't he?
Yes,
thought about
he
it.
Did.
Well, he was thinking about how he spent the money that he got for saying that he didn't touch it.
That's the lying pause right there.
Josh, why yeah. did you walk away? You say you're no longer a Jehovah's Witness. How come?
It's just a very, I don't know, when you're a kid, it's a pretty hard thing to go through because I don't know if you guys know about this, but you don't celebrate any holidays. You don't celebrate Christmas. You don't celebrate your birthday. You don't celebrate.
I didn't know that.
It's called they call it the worldly holidays, which is outside of their clique, I guess you could say.
Okay.
So you don't celebrate anything. So coming up as a kid, it's pretty hard to go through something like that.
So you said, I can't have Christmas gifts. I'm out.
Yeah, pretty much.
I like it.
I remember we had one in grade school, and we used to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and she never would. Because that was against a religion.
Mm. Yeah, I couldn't do that.
You couldn't do that either? Okay.
No, Josh, do you have any photos of you and Michael Jackson together?
You know, I was Alex asked me that a couple days ago when she called, and I'd have to try to find some. I think I might have some somewhere. But
where did I put my picture with Michael Jackson, maybe the most famous person in the world ever?
It's funny when people ask me about it, no one believes me that it actually happened and that, I went. Well,
it's hard to believe he would go, first of all. And like Bean said, it's hard to believe he wouldn't just go with a security guard or somebody else that was in his clique.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Well, his mom was heavily involved with the congregation.
Right.
For
a
long time. I think she still is to this day.
So last question for you, Josh, and you're awesome to think of us. You're awesome to write, and we really appreciate you coming on the air and sharing your story. But when you heard a couple years ago that Prince went through his Jehovah's Witness phase, it must have just been deja vu for you to think about it all over again going on with him, huh?
Oh, yeah. So, he was around, Who knows? It could have been great. It could have been going door to door, not with Michael Jackson, but with Prince.
Josh, let me just surprise you here. I know you're not aware of this, but we actually have a reunion planned for you with the King of Pop. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We are good.
Michael, do you remember Josh, the little fellow that we're talking to on the phone who went out with you in the 80s?
Do I ever?
Really?
Yeah.
And what strikes you about Josh?
Fella.
He was a good looking fella?
I found that Josh wasn't as dedicated to the Jehovah's Witness as I was.
Oh, really?
I would try to get him to go with me to knock on the doors of elementary schools, and he just wouldn't go for it.
Well, that's not part of the plan, is it, Michael?
It's part of my plan.
Well, it was a little dangerous, to be honest with you.
Oh! Jam out!
Why would you yell that?
Because I was moved by the spirit of Jehovah.
I see.
So you're out, though, now, Michael. You do not do that anymore.
I am still in the closet. How dare you?
No. I mean, with the Jehovah's Witness, you're no longer a member of that congregation.
Oh, that's what you're saying. Yes, now I'm out.
Now, Michael, I asked Josh if you
come
ever...
Come and knock on my door.
I asked Josh if you ever touched him.
We are waiting for you.
Michael. What,
why are you singing Three's Company? I don't even understand where this is coming
from. Do you know how to get to heaven's gates? Jehovah's Witnesses do.
Wow.
I used to sing when I knocked on the door.
That is a great, great song.
That's my new hit.
Michael, I asked Josh. He said,
please call me Joe.
Joe? I asked Josh. He said that you never touched him. Is that how you remember it?
I'll go along with that if he will.
Really? So you're saying a lot more happened.
He cashed the check.
Okay.
Gotcha.
All right. Josh?
He drank the Jesus juice.
Did he really?
Okay. Good times.
Can't celebrate his birthday, but we had a party. You know what I mean?
I think we do.
Comes before part B.
Thank you, Michael. All right. Very good. Thank you, Josh.
Bye now.
It's KRQFM passing Los Angeles. In fact, in the 9 o'clock hour, we not only will tell you how you can be this year's Miss Double December, or technically next year's, I guess, but we're also going to talk to Ralph. You're the one who tipped us off to this chick who goes by the moniker The Resident.
Yeah.
She's got a website where she has all sorts of stuff that she spouts off about. We're going to talk to her and find out why she hates.
She's a hater. Why does she hate? She drinks the Haterade. We'll have to find out.
That's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Thursday. What's going on?
Lance Armstrong is dating Ashley Olsen.
You told us that.
That's one of the Olsen twins?
One of the Olsen twins, yeah.
Is
she the one on Weeds or the other one? Like it makes any difference.
I don't know.
Like it makes
Ashley, I don't know. I can't tell the difference between the two.
Here's one of the benefits of being a Lance Armstrong's daughter. You can bring an Olsen twin to school for show and tell. Apparently, Ashley made an appearance at the Texas school of one of his twin daughters recently. And the little girl proudly showed off dad's new accessory.
Weird.
This is my dad's new girlfriend. She was
on that show and tell.
She was on the show about the crazy family in Full House.
That's weird.
Nice job, Miss Armstrong. You get an A. You know who's all wigged out about the relationship? Sheryl Crow.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, yeah.
In Touch Magazine.
She's a woman.
In Touch Magazine says Sheryl said to be disgusted by the public display of affection between the two. And recently, when she spotted the pair at an appearance, an insider says Sheryl rolled her eyes and said, "That's pathetic. Ashley's a kid," said the dried-up old hose bag.
I'm with Sheryl. That girl's, what, 21?
Yeah, Lisa, that's the point. That girl's 21.
Legal.
And Sheryl Crow is a barren old bat.
Aww. Well past legal, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're 43 or whatever Sheryl Crow is, I guess it would sting a little bit if your ex-boyfriend's new love is 21,
you think?
I guess. But
yeah.
But you gotta, I mean, you can't blame him. He's got one ball. He does the best he can.
It's not too bad for one ball, getting a 21-year-old. Yeah. Meanwhile, she's cruising the aisles over at Albertsons looking for personal lubricant. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
That's so hot.
Yes.
She's old and dried out.
I think we understand what you're saying completely.
She no longer generates
no more explanation
her own, no
needed.
Generates her own moisture is what I'm saying.
Got that.
She has to give a water bottle time, too. She goes,
got that.
She's all, mouth is all dry.
No more moisture. Got it. Yeah, that's hot.
She's dusty is what I'm saying.
We understand what you're saying.
Ralph, if there's a part of the earth you can compare it to.
I would say the Gobi Desert is the closest thing you could find to Sheryl Crow. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying she's old and dried out.
What are you saying then?
But you know what Lance used to call her vagina? Death Valley.
Is that right?
That's what he used to call her.
Oh, that's too bad.
That is sad.
No wonder they broke up.
She goes to the bathroom, dust.
Really?
That's what she pees, dust.
Seems extreme.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She is not a spring chicken.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Not a young girl. Congratulations to Matt Damon. He is People Magazine's sexiest man alive.
Oh.
Apparently, Matt was completely embarrassed by the honor. He told the editors of the magazine that he wasn't worthy, that he sees himself as just an aging suburban dad. Oh, shut up. I'm just an aging suburban dad who stars in multi-million dollar motion pictures and a lot of hot babes want to bang me, and I live the life of a movie star. That's just little old me.
I'm no different than anyone else.
I'm the same as you. Not. You're not, Matt. You're not.
But having said that, doesn't he seem like a stand-up guy and the kind of guy you'd be friends with, I mean, as a regular person?
Yes. So you know what, Mr. Matt Damon? Just say thank you and move on. That's all
drama
you need to
queen.
Do.
That's right.
You don't need to stop and oh, golly shucks, and kick the dirt and chew your cud.
Did he chew his cud?
Jethro Bodine.
Seems kind of gay.
Just thank you. That's all you need from us, and we need from you, and we all need from each other. Those are our mutual needs, is what I'm saying. Dog the Bounty Hunter. He's got to be upset about the fact that his son sold him out to the National Enquirer, sold recordings of their private conversation to the tabloid magazine, which, of course, contained Dog using the N-word.
Doesn't seem like
guilty, 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 guilty!
It's not a perfect case situation.
Well, Dog may be cheesed off, but you have no idea how upset Beth is.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to cross Beth.
No.
According to the National Enquirer, Beth is trying to force the Benedict Arnold of the family out of his apartment. She has also contacted his parole officer, trying to get him sent back to prison. And sources say that Beth has vowed revenge against Tucker Chapman, even if she loses all her money and has to eat out of garbage cans, she says.
Wow. Did you say that Dog owned those apartments that he was living in or paid for
I believe he pays the rent for his kids.
Well, they should kick him out then.
Yeah.
And by the way, we learned on the Larry King show when Dog the Bounty Hunter was on that the kid got $15,000. That's how much he got to sell out his father. That was it.
Those are his pieces of gold, Judas.
That's right.
You do not want to see little blonde Beth with the giant boobs that she's choking on coming toward you in a fury.
You can just see her getting a nail file, just sharpening up her claws. Yeah. You can just imagine that happening.
She will take him down.
She's not saying he's a gold digger, though, is she?
No, but she ain't messing with
What? Let's not mention that, if you don't mind.
By the way, there's an online petition to get Dog's show back on A&E.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that that he's, you know, paid the price now, and let's let him back in.
If you go to petitiononline.com/dogontv, you'll find the online petition there. You can sign up if you're so inclined. 8,500 signatures so far. So a lot of people think we should put this all behind us and move on.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I think they should let him back on.
So you're in favor of the N-word. You like you like the N-word. So you're
pro-rape.
You're
pro-rape.
You're pro-rape, you're pro-kidnapping, and now you're like the N-word being used willy-nilly.
I think it has been exposed. I think that he has been appropriately shamed, and I think that it's time to let him get on with making a living. I think he's learned his lesson.
So speaketh the bean.
I'm against the words Willy and Nilly put together. That's my problem.
It was my old dog.
Now that's a dog.
My old wrestling coach back in high school.
Willy Nilly?
Willy Nilly, yeah. And David Letterman's a cool dude. While other staffs are being laid off due to the writer's strike, Dave has announced that he is going to pay his entire staff out of his own pocket, at least through the end of the year while the writer's strike is still going on. So that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
A costly move for Dave, but a very, very classy thing for him to do. Many of his staffers have been working for him for the entire run of his show. That's some 20-some-odd years. So it's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Sam Waterston, ADA Jack McCoy on Law & Order, one of the best actors on TV, and not very acclaimed because that show's been around for so long. I think a lot of people forget how good he is and how good that show is. But week in and week out, he's terrific. He's 67 years old today. Kevin Eubanks, band leader for The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, turns 40. Jesse Sandoval, drummer for The Shins, turns 33 years old today. And Ed Asner, very popular character actor, one of the best actors on television.
Back here.
Who Kevin has a problem with back his hair. Back hair. Wow. First of all, how are you so exposed to Ed Asner's back hair? I don't think I've ever seen his back. How would you know how hairy it is?
I don't know where. It must have been a Saturday Night Live, or I don't know where it was. It's not
bedroom.
It's not a lot.
In the bedroom, Mike. You're right, Psycho Mike. That's where it must
you
have
caught
been.
Me. You caught me. Oh, you guys are good.
Kevin was at the Roots reunion party, and he ran into Ed Asner, and the next thing you know?
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
He used him like an ATM.
I don't even know what that means. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Boobs, 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 boobs.
It's that time of year, you guys. Miss Double December 2008 underway right now at krock.com. We are looking for your submissions.
Yeah. And your emissions. You know what I'm saying?
I was afraid when I said that.
Yeah.
How are we doing so far with potential Miss Double D 2008? Ralph, you've been keeping a close eye on the entry box.
I have,
so to speak.
I have a fistful of them right here.
That's
now.
What she said.
I've got photographs, uh-oh. I've got names, I've got talents, and I'm telling you, adding the talent competition was maybe the stroke of genius, the best idea Lightning ever had.
This year we're doing it quite differently. We are adding the talent competition. We're going to put up video, and we're going to have a live show where we're going to name Miss Double December.
This will be fun.
Final 10 will be there, so
yeah.
That's going to be pretty cool.
Now, let me start. I want to hear about some of the potential girls for the honor, but let me just start by saying there has been a great deal of angst in the office, especially from Super Horror, assistant producer Alex, that a lot of women who want to be Miss Double D are not, in fact, even close to Double Ds. You can be gorgeous and be a B-cup. You're not going to be picked as Miss Double December. You guys are with me on that, right?
Well, that may sound like discrimination, Bean.
Well, it is. The title is Miss Double D.
Oh, I'm not saying I'm not all for it. I'm just saying it may sound like discrimination.
Well, I don't want girls to spend a lot of time entering and being just disappointed that they're not considered. But I mean, it really is kind of part of the deal.
Yes.
Is you've got to be, you know, Chesty McBoobs. I mean, there's
by nature,
just it comes with the territory.
We're looking for girls who have been blessed either by their God or their surgeons, one or the other.
Although, if you're way hot and you want to send your photo, please go ahead and do that. Let's not discourage.
Kevin,
I'm saying let's
so
not
desperate.
Discourage.
You sound just
God's
desperate.
Sakes. You people just don't get it.
We have Brittany who submitted her photo recently, and she sure qualifies.
Yeah.
Brittany's talent? She can demonstrate the proper execution of the donkey punch, she says. That's her talent. Look at it. You gotta look at Brittany when you get to San. So it's kind of a smallish picture, but you get a chance.
Oh, yeah.
Evelyn says she's an expert rope jumper.
A rope jumper.
Hmm. And given her attributes, she could kill herself.
She has a black eye all the time.
Yeah, she could kill herself by jumping rope.
Got to be careful.
Christina can drink Bacardi and spit fire.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's good.
Okay. She can take a mouthful of the Bacardi 151, I guess it is, and blow flames.
Now, you can't.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Lucky flames. You can't make up your talent either because you are going to have to do it, not only for us, but on stage if you're selected as one of the top 10 girls, right?
That's right. Tawny can put her fist in her mouth.
Well, okay. I mean,
all right.
That's talent. That's,
Michelle claims she can dance. That's kind of a weak-ass talent.
Depending on the dance.
True.
Maybe she dances in that outfit.
That'd be good.
We'll let her dance.
That'd be fine.
But the most important thing is, ladies, first of all, yes, as Bean mentioned, you do have to be endowed. That is part of the nature of Miss Double December. But also, submissions will only be accepted up until November the 20th at 10 a.m. At the end of our show on November the 20th, which is Monday.
Oh, no. It's that soon.
I think it's Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I believe.
Tuesday, yes. The 20th.
Yes.
The end of our show on Tuesday will be the final deadline for submission. So you have to get your photographs and your applications in today, tomorrow, over the weekend, or Monday or Tuesday. That's all there is. And then we will be we'll be trimming it down to 10.
He said trim.
10 lucky finalists. And then the K-Rock listeners will help us choose who will be this year's Miss Double December, which is very exciting.
Lisa, what do you have to say about the competition? Because you're the only one of us who actually makes out with the Miss Double December throughout the year. So do you have any requests?
Requests?
Any comments about the kind of girl that you're looking for?
Must be great kissers.
She's got to be friendly, of course. She has to have nice teeth.
Right.
Chanel's talent is that she can touch her nose with her tongue.
That seems like a positive to me.
So when it comes to kissing, that seems like a long, lengthy tongue, which would be good.
Although usually it's the former Miss Double D that kisses the new one now.
Well, it's always of the above. I mean, let's be honest.
We transfer the title of Miss Double December via the kiss.
Saliva.
Right. From the former holder to the current holder. Mm-hmm. And then as a rite of passage, they always kiss you as well.
They all look quite lovely, I have to say.
We got a good batch. I mean, the early returns are so far really spectacular. But, of course, there's always room for more. And we are taking your submissions all the way up through and including Tuesday of next week, and then it's all over. So make sure you get those photos and applications
in. And Miss Double December gets to go to both nights of Acoustic Christmas and all of our events next year. We're having singles parties. We're planning a Vegas trip, all kinds of stuff next year.
And you get to go to the Weenie Roast and everything that the K&B show does here, you will get to do with us as our official spokeswoman. And it's really quite the honor. And you get to wear a beautiful sash and a sparkly crown, too.
That Ralph makes by hand.
I do. I iron on little letters on the sash, and I make the Miss Double December sash each year, and I get the crown, and you also get to hold my scepter.
I don't know what you're saying.
Hey. It's a long piece of metal with sparkles on it. It's like a rod. It's like a
it's not helping.
You know, it's a long, hard implement used for special occasions.
What do you do? What do you do with it?
You grasp it.
You rule with it.
You grasp it, and you flog it. And you gesture with it.
I'm still not clear on this.
And
whole
you
thing.
Use it as a tool for wielding power.
I see.
Largely.
Okay.
All right. For a little while, and then it needs a rest.
Go to krock.com.
then it gets all powerful again.
Click on the Kevin Bean page.
It's really, really tired, and then it wakes right back up.
It does. Unless it's had a lot to drink.
Sure.
And then it just rolls over and goes to sleep.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
1-800, excuse me, why am I doing this? Tito, what's the phone number again for people who want to call in for What It Do, Nephew?
Listen, mejor es 1-800-520-1067.
That 1067, right, that's
yes.
Right. Yeah. Four passes to the K-Rock screening of Warren Miller's new film called Playground. Also four passes to Ski Dazzle at the L.A. Convention Center, November 29th through the 2nd. There's one thing I'll tell you about Southern California in mid-November. You step outside, man, woo, just frosty. Just, you can think about nothing else but getting to those slopes.
I was out in the parking lot just now digging my car out. The plow went by and left a big snow pile there, and now I can't get out.
It was in the mid to upper 90s yesterday.
It's freaking hot out there right now, sweating my ass off.
I love that. All right, let's begin with Seth in Chino. Good morning, Seth. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do? Oh, what it do, baby boo?
Hello.
What's going on?
Hey, during that last bit, I was driving on the freeway, and I happened to I was freaking crying, almost crashing my car. I looked over, had a little weird gay moment with another guy. He was doing the same thing, almost like wiping his tears away from that.
You mean talking to the
the resident?
Resident?
Yeah, talking to the bitter one.
Oh,
resident.
Dear God.
She's hot. Resident Evil. That's what I call her now.
And she's hot, too. It's a shame that she's so bitter.
Well, what I was wondering, you guys should have asked her what her boob size was to see if she wanted to be Miss Double December.
Oh, good.
That would have sealed it.
Yeah.
We would have had her in the palm of our hand if we had done that.
So let me see if I've got this straight. We weren't abusive enough on that last call. We needed to be more abusive to her.
Hey, in my defense, I'm glad you called. I'm glad you enjoyed it. But it wasn't my intention to be mean to her. I know you may think that I was trying to be mean to her. But honestly, she ticked me off with her attitude from the start of that phone conversation. I think she earned that abuse.
And
really,
if you're
do.
Putting that stuff up on the web, you have to be prepared, I think, to defend your position. It wasn't an ambush. You just disagreed with some of the things she was saying, but she couldn't cope. Everyone has to agree with her, right. Apparently.
Yeah. Bear in Pacoima?
Hey, ¿qué se hace, nietos? What it do?
What it do?
Hey, Bear.
Look, guys,
I'm calling because I listened to the Kevin and Bean show from 5:30 to the What It Do Nephew segment, and I got to say, today was the very first time you guys were entertaining.
Wow. First time.
Congratulations to us.
Finally, especially we got it right.
Bean with that interview with that lady, he was on fire.
Yeah, he was.
It was odd. Not only that, but he also advocated raping and kidnapping.
No.
It was
That's true. Bean is pro all of that stuff. Yes. That's true.
I am against all of that, and you're taking my words out of context.
You know what I think it is?
A girl goes to David Copperfield's Island, she should be raped.
You know what I think? Say that.
You say it all the time.
You want to know why? I said she shouldn't go and not expect to have sex with him. That's why I'm surprised it ever got to rape, because you think that that's what she knew she was going for.
So no means yes. That's what you're saying.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, that's what I hear, too.
Here's
what
I like. I like that the K-Rock listeners listen to us just to hear us get in trouble from people. Seems like they enjoy
Bean
that.
Bean is at his best when he is just dressing someone down.
No
he's
question.
Just dissecting someone
all
right on the air.
No
this
question.
This love fest is fun and all, but we do have a very angry listener on the line right now. Meredith is on line 4, and she is calling from somewhere in Midget Valley. Hi, Meredith. Good morning. You're on the Kevin and Beach on K-Rock.
Are you guys kidding for real? I mean, you cannot be that obtuse, really.
Kidding about
using the midget word, perpetuating it. I mean, really, you can't be stuck in the dark ages that much, or can you?
Pretty sure we can.
Yeah.
I mean, well, are you guys aware of how utterly demeaning that word is towards little people, or are you just not?
I don't think we probably do understand how offensive it is to little people.
Although I think they get that it is offensive.
You know what? I would love to come in and give you an education. How do you feel about
hey,
it?
Hey, now you're getting somewhere.
Ask a midget.
I don't think that's what she means, Kevin. I don't think that's what she means.
Ask a midget.
I think she's pretty, clear she doesn't like that word, too.
Oh. Let me ask you this, Meredith. In all honesty, I'm very curious the answer. Don't you kind of decide whether you're going to be offended by that word or not? And if you're comfortable with your size, it's not going to bother you. And if you decide you got a big chip on your shoulder and you hate tallies, then you decide you are going to be offended by it?
You know, that's such an unbelievably ignorant question that I don't even know if I can dignify that with a proper response. But the answer is no. Okay. I don't decide. You decide by using that word in a really offensive way.
But there's no way you can't be offended by it. In other words, the word is so heinous to you that you cannot let it roll off your tiny little back.
First of all, the word is not just heinous. It's inaccurate. And the fact that you continue to just use short puns is just like such frat humor. I'm so shocked that you guys can't do better than that.
Have you ever heard this show before?
Why don't you give me the opportunity to come in? I mean, I do.
That sounds fun.
I would love to do that.
That sounds like a good time.
Meredith, they're all about frat humor. You listen to the show, right?
Actually, I don't listen to the show.
Well, that explains it.
Then let us tell you, we're all about frat humor.
They are.
Well, you know,
they're very immature.
It's not funny.
We've
heard that before.
Meredith, since you don't listen to the show, just for your information, I don't know why you called today, but just yesterday we were talking about how much we would like to own a midget. Against midgets.
Oh my God.
That's why I called in today, because I got about 7 phone calls from people that did listen to your show and were utterly outraged with the fact that you believe little people should be owned as pets.
They're kidding.
Around your neck and walk you around town.
Meredith.
There's nobody big enough who could put a collar around my neck and walk me around town. See, the point is that midgets are bite-sized. They're people McNuggets. You can actually have them because they're small enough that you can keep them in the barn.
Oh, Bean. Why are you doing this?
What? Am I wrong?
I'm wrong.
Midgets aren't small, right? I'm wrong.
You're wrong. But I'd love to tell you that to your face. Why don't you call me fun size and all these names that you have?
Oh, good. We didn't do that when you.
In the studio. I would love to see you do that.
All right.
Listen,
I like Meredith.
Meredith is going to kick somebody's ass.
I like Meredith very much, though. Why not Ask a Midget? We've been talking about wanting to do Ask a Midget. Meredith, would you come in and field questions from our listeners to find out what your experience is like as a little person?
See, you are capable of using that word. Congratulations. You just used the appropriate terminology. So if you continue to call me a little person, then yes, I would be happy to. But if I come there and you continue to call me a midget, then no.
It's awfully tempting to call you a midget, though.
But do you think you could just
without
doing that?
But it's tempting because you're being so obstinate about it. That's what's tempting about it. Because get that upset over, so it's fun.
Meredith, these guys love to push people's buttons.
Right.
And as long as you continue to get agitated by them, they will continue to do
that. We can't help ourselves.
If you saw me in person, do you watch the show Boston Legal?
Yes, and you're very good on it.
Okay, so then obviously you know who I am.
Yes.
Okay, so I think that if we were face-to-face in person in an intimate setting, I would challenge you to see how many times you would call me that word, because I don't think that would happen.
Face-to-belt buckle, let's be honest.
Meredith, you don't know Bean.
Listen.
If you're asking that question.
Listen,
really
it's only, I'm telling you the
I
truth out.
I stick with Mark and Kim.
Okay,
oh,
good.
Oh, dear God.
It's only funny to us because you're so outraged by it. If you weren't, it wouldn't be that much fun.
Right. If they can't get a rise out of you, they don't get a kick out of doing that to people.
Well, you know, I don't subscribe to that
so
philosophy.
I think, well,
but they do.
We're not asking you if you do. We're telling you that's what...
You don't have to do it on your radio show.
But we're saying that when Bean says, why don't you choose to not be offended by it, that would make it go away a lot quicker than calling us and calling us a bunch of names and stuff, because now it makes us want to call you a midget more.
Well, but, you know, but then where do we go from there?
All right, I'll tell you where we go, Meredith, because we're almost out of time. We're almost out of time, but I'm glad you called. Ask your owner if you can come in, and we'll do
Christ.
Ask a little person. No, I said little person, Ralph. What are you what
you
are you
also said owner.
And we'll do ask a little person, and you can give us your side of the story, and listeners can call with questions.
Okay, I'll have to think about that.
Okay.
Sounds like a party.
As an aside, Meredith, I thought you were really brilliant in that episode of House where you played the mother of the girl who was size challenged and you worked on it. It was a great episode.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
Very talented actress.
Thank you.
Glad you called, Meredith. Thank you very much. We enjoyed it.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
See you later. Bye-bye. I don't want to own that one, though. I'll tell you that.
Uppity.
I do. Have you seen her?
Pretty uppity.
Yeah, she's
cute. No, she's hot. She's actually really hot. But
and really a very talented actress.
She yeah, she has too much attitude, though. You don't need
by
that
the way,
for your pants.
The resident.net a half hour ago, very hot. You know what?
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes it's better just not
Here's
to speak.
The thing. We have met little people who don't mind the word. I guess that's what, in the face of if that evidence, it's kind of hard to believe that you can't choose to either be bothered by it or not.
That's
be
a great point, Ralph. When we played those midget basketball games, that's what the team called themselves, right? It was midget basketball team, right? Am I wrong about that?
I believe they do have a – isn't it the I midget basketball
so.
League?
I think so. I don't know.
Something like that. And they certainly were not offended by it. And we know a lot of those guys and run into them at events and stuff like that. They're very cool and they don't
cheaters.
Seem to bother them at
they're
all.
Cheaters. So. I'll tell you that. On the basketball court, they cheat like
they
little bastards.
Remember they were biting our ankles?
They were biting our ankles. Yep.
But obviously she is offended by that word, and that's her right to be offended by it.
It is. It just seems like her life would be a lot easier were she not able to get her buttons pushed quite that easily.
I do think it is
tiny,
unfair,
tiny
though,
buttons.
Where sometimes they say it is akin to using the N-word or you know, other ethnic slurs and that kind of stuff. It may be to them, but I think in the general populace it really isn't the same. I don't think it has the same sort of intent behind it as some of the
it's
other
it's not a word full of hatred.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
It's maybe something that is not thought out properly or is sort of inconsiderate, but it isn't certain a demeaning word of hatred as some others are.
I think you're right. What's going on with the women this hour that we talked to, though? Are they all cycling at the same time or something?
Women.
What's happening here?
How can you be
surprised
by that?
Well, they don't know their
that.
Place, that's for sure.
Just shut up. Everybody be fine.
That's why we have to continue with the Miss Double December contest, because we get nice women who are attractive, who know their place. That's
exactly.
The whole point of that competition.
I'm ashamed to be here.
Amen. Yeah.
Listen,
amen.
Let's just continue pushing
Maybe
buttons.
Copperfield has a point. Maybe he does.
Oh,
maybe Bean's right.
What is wrong with you?
That rape island is okay.
I never said that.
I remember when you said that.
I want to thank our guests on today's show, especially the resident.net. A lot of people have called saying or emailed saying, I didn't get the name of the site, the sound down site. It is theresident.net. And thanks to Lori for coming on. Also,
it's way sound down, by the way. Don't just turn it low. Turn it off.
Yeah, it's got to be all the way off. Also, thanks to the great Harvey Levin for joining us today. He is at TMZ.com, and the TMZ TV show airs weeknights on Fox Channel 11 at 6:30.
So this is the Mark and Kim, by the way.
And Meredith. Thank Meredith.
She's a caller on What It Do.
Right. You know, listens to Mark and Kim.
I know. Yeah. Listen, not my choice.
You're not going to get very stimulated.
No one said midgets were
there.
Smart.
Ted Ziegleriti's later, too, in the evening. Love songs.
Tomorrow morning is Friday. We got the Movie Beat tomorrow, telling you about all the new movies in the theaters.
How about Bayo Mother Effin' Wolf? How
That's
about that?
What I'm talking about.
That I saw this week that I can talk to with actual knowledge.
Any midgets in that movie?
Let me think. There's a huge midget scene.
All right, then.
Yeah, it just dawned on me.
Morgan Spurlock also tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have Ask a Mormon tomorrow morning.
We have Morgan and Mormon?
Yes.
That's great.
We have both.
And moron.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to tell you how the word ho-ho-ho is no longer to be used by Santa.
I hate that word.
Another word.
Because it's offensive.
Oh, my God.
Only
it's
if Don,
not
only
horror,
if Don
horror,
Imus.
Horror, right?
Only if Don Imus is playing the Santa is it really offensive.
And also we have tickets for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007 tomorrow morning.
Well, if we're still on the air tomorrow morning, that sounds like a lot of show. I'll look forward to hearing that with the new guys who are going to be filling in for us. Stick around for Kat Corbett. She is a full-size beauty with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock next, including Misery Business from Paramore, also some Alice in Chains, solo music from Eddie Vedder, Bad Religion, Nirvana, and more after this on K-Rock.